Hey, everybody, this is Michael Rosso.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
This is so exciting.
Hey. What are we doing?
This is the Alternative Cinema Podcast. This is the internet radio show for people who like really creepy cult movies, crazy low-budget, super low-budget underground.
Grainy movies.
Kooky people who still watch VHS tapes.
People decapitated and whatnot.
People who like death horror.
Yeah.
Like
big knives.
Creeping flesh.
Lots of blood.
Zombies.
Hugo Stiglitz.
Girls' boobs.
Hugo
Stiglitz. Dark staircases.
Bloody boobs.
Bloody boobs.
And we're back after our vacation.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah, it has been a long time.
Yeah, it's September 15th, 2012. Here we are. Back to school. Back in the swing of things.
Was this a time of anxiety for you guys? Like school starting up again, like when you were in high school and shit? Like, oh, no.
Sickening feeling.
Only two more weeks of school starting.
Mike and I were just talking about this. We actually still have the feeling, even though we don't go to school.
Yeah. I'm a little older than you, so mine has kind of waned over the years, but...
For folks listening, I'd like to introduce everyone. First of all, thanks for tuning in.
Really
thrilled you're taking the time to tune in. And here in the studio is the Russ, Aaron Russ.
Hi.
Dun, dun, dun. Start Russ.
William Hellfire.
Hey, everybody.
William.
Super special guest, Kevin Neblung from the Pink Delicates.
Hi, everybody.
Pink Delicate.
Kevin is the author of the song That Dead Girl, which we've been playing.
Yeah.
And we're going to do it here live.
Special.
Exciting.
Nice.
Woo.
And John Fedeli.
Jackass.
JP.
And this is a super big show. And
what show?
We're going to get right into it. Right into it. Talking about VHS.
Yeah.
We were just talking about, Kevin, you were just mentioning how that everything's DVR now.
Yep.
But you can't make a tape and then hand it to John to say, "Hey, man, I taped this off Playboy Channel last night."
Unless you're
check out that rack.
Unless you're Mr. Rasso giving it to his son, Michael.
Exactly. True. And that's sad because using VHS is actually convenient.
It was a way of life. Yeah.
And I was.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
My kids will never know a
podcast faux pas.
Do you need to take that? My Aunt Mary was over. Yeah. Aunt Mary is married to Uncle Jimmy.
Uncle Jimmy.
Remember Uncle Jimmy?
Yeah, he made me...
shot his 25th anniversary.
And he gave me a $20 tip, and he made it into the $20 bill into a bow tie.
Oh, very nice.
I very carefully opened it up to see how he did it, and I could never replicate it.
He's smooth, Uncle Jimmy. Uncle Jimmy had a massive heart attack. He was in the hospital, and Aunt Mary, his wife, was over at my parents' house.
Right.
Good job.
She was over at my parents' house. I was visiting, and we're having dinner, and my dad and my Aunt Mary... And they spoke about their brother, Uncle Mike, all use VHS.
Still.
All three of them, all Rasso family members are using VHS.
Wow.
Recording it, taping, sharing.
Old habits die hard.
Yeah.
What will we be doing?
So this summer, Josh Schaefer, who runs Lunch Meat Magazine, you know about that, Bill?
No.
No?
Lunch Meat?
Lunch Meat Magazine.
You're fired.
You're fired. That's it.
No, it's okay. It's a phone to ring.
Who's calling you?
I need water.
Oh, I need water.
Hey, get some water.
Thanks.
It's a water coin.
The Coke.
Planet X needs some water.
I think Planet X is very short of water.
とても興味ある問題ですから。
Have a night, another diet, green tea. Oh, you got water? No, I'll drink water. I'll pour it here. Fine.
Waiter.
I'm part of the wait staff.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, I don't have a dollar in the form of a bow tie.
I saved the shot for you.
Here you go, John. Don't go spill
Nick
it.
Got a...
Don't go spill
it's on
it.
Coaster.
I know, that's crazy. If it was mine's like purple, it would be perfect.
So this past summer at Artscape, which is counties have art fairs. The largest is Artscape down in Maryland, and Artscape commissioned Josh Schaefer from Lunch Meat to do a big VHS tribute presentation. So they gave him a trailer container, and they made it up to be like an old like a living room, like a basement Like Wayne's World.
Yeah, you mentioned this before.
Yeah, there's like chairs and like TVs and like posters all over the place.
Wow.
And I took a trip down there and I interviewed those guys.
Cool.
Yeah, so...
sounds awesome.
Yeah.
So what do they got to say?
Yeah, I'll see what they had to say.
All right.
Okay, sir, who are you?
My name's Josh Shaver.
Who are you?
Chris LaMartina.
What are you guys doing here? Where are we?
We're at Artscape in Baltimore, Maryland.
Ooh, okay. Tell me about it.
Well, it's a huge arts festival with lots of groovy stuff everywhere. Chris is actually from here. He can probably tell you a little more about it than I can.
Is that true?
I am from here. That is true.
So you grew up, you knew about Artscape, you know what it is?
Yeah, I'm not sure how long it's been going on for. It's been at least 12 years. It's the largest outdoor art festival in the country, in the continental United States. And yeah, it's just a bunch of maniacs doing weird art exhibitions, you know, screenings. This year's theme is roadside attractions, and we got a bunch of weird carnival exhibits and whatnot, stuff like that.
Why are we standing in a like shipping container?
VHS appreciation and celebration. Chris and I are, you know, doing an installation where we have a bunch of TVs and we are rolling a bunch of VHS tapes and, you know, I'm doing the lunch meet thing here. And we're just hanging out watching VHS tapes, man, just having a good time.
So it's set up like someone's messy basement?
Exactly, because that's where you watch VHS tapes, in your messy basement, with snacks strewn everywhere, you know, VHS tapes, pizza boxes, things like that.
And this is actually part of, you guys didn't crash this, right?
No, we're legit. We are legit right now.
How did it come about? Explain the genesis of this exhibit at Artscape.
Well, I was contacted by Jim Lucio, who, you know, said that he saw Lunch Meat and liked it, and he said, you know, he wanted to do a VHS thing, and I was absolutely thrilled with the idea. And I was like, sure, anything I can do, I'd love to be a part of it. So here I am, just hanging out.
Did you know you were going to be in a shipping container?
I had no idea where I was going to be, honestly. I had no idea how it was going to be set up. I knew that the general idea that we're going to have a bunch of TVs and pizza boxes and people are going to watch VHS tapes. And I was like, good enough for me. And then I came down here and this is great. I'm having a great time.
Are people stopping in?
Lots of people are coming through, man. It's raining and we got some coverage. So people are coming through and watching VHS tapes, sitting down and just watching cool movies. So, yeah.
Tell us about Lunch Meat Magazine.
Lunch Meat Magazine is a print and online publication that champions and celebrates the VHS format. We like to dig up movies that are only available on video and do interviews and articles about people that are involved with obscure film that needs to be remembered. And that's all we really want to do.
Yeah, so so I've been reading Lunch Meat, I think, since I first heard about it. I think issue 2, I have issue 2 on. And I read it religiously because I just love what Josh does with that. So basically when I talked to Jim about doing the VHS exhibition show, he told me that Josh was going to be involved. And I was like, oh, sweet, I'm a big fan of Lunch Meat Magazine. So then I was at a VHS convention in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. Yeah, and then I ran into the man. We started talking. So we've only known each other meeting in person for probably like 3 months, maybe. Yeah,
that's awesome. The person who just walked in has a Artscape staff on.
My name's Crystal.
Imagine that, someone from the staff walking in and watches VHS.
Yeah, well, I mean, some stuff you can't even get on DVD anymore. It's out of print. So you keep the VHS. I have this really awesome full length anime Swan Lake. That's like, it's so good. And I just keep it, you know, the classical music score. It's really good. It has these really funny chipmunks that like do goofy things. It's great.
That's awesome.
I'm not letting go of that one. Never going to find that again, that's for sure.
Thank you very much. Yeah. What's next for VHS preservation?
Hopefully just getting more movies out there and getting people to see them. You know what I mean? I think that's the one thing. I mean, I love the format, but I'm also with the idea of getting more people to take a look at it. And I think people re-releasing stuff on VHS is an amazing idea. It's a viable format again, and I think it's absolutely terrific. I think it's a lot of fun.
How are these tapes, the vintage tapes, holding up? Is time being kind to them? Do they play?
I think it's how all they've, it's, they're a product of their environment. You know what I mean? I think however people stored them or however they treated them. I mean, I have tapes from 81 that work perfectly. You know, and it really matters on like what kind of tape it was, like the brand of tape, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, for the most part, in general, they do hold up. I mean, they're still watchable and it's still a print of the film. Totally viable way to watch the film.
How do people get in touch with you?
You can go to lunchmeatvhs.com and I'm on there. Whoever you contact on that site, you'll get me, and we'll be hanging out and chatting about VHS, hopefully.
Awesome. Great.
Oh, yeah.
In the new world of video recorders, nobody offers more performance features than this one. RCA Selectivision 650. Maximum 6-hour recording time, an unsurpassed 14-day memory, and remote control special effects like slow motion, picture search, and stop action. Nobody gives you more VCA DVR, then Selectivision 650. Let RCA turn your television into Selectivision.
Hey, we're back. That was Josh Schaefer from Lunch Meat and Chris LaMartina. You ever meet Chris?
I didn't meet Chris. Hi, Chris.
I've never met him.
We did.
Anthology Film Archive for the Shock Festival screening.
Oh, a long time ago.
He did the.
He did. Oh, he did the Edgar Allan Poe trailer.
Yes, he did. Good memory.
Very good.
Yeah. Awesome memory. Yeah.
Crazy. Hi, Chris. How are you again?
Hello, Chris.
I never had the pleasure.
Okay.
Heard his name 100 times.
Hey, look who walked in. Look, it's Gene.
Hey, I'm here.
Hi, Gene.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Gene.
Hello, Gene.
Hey, Gene, what do you got? Gene has some news, some quick news.
Let's hear what the news is.
Yeah, Gene, take a seat. Tell us what you got, and then we're going to do the Rust news.
Breaking news.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, it's not good news. I understand that Rebecca Brooke, who is one of your starlets you showcased in several Sarno films, as well as, you know, Radley Metzger's The Image, just passed on.
Yeah, that's horrible. For our re-release of Abigail Leslie and Laura's Toys, two Joe Sarno films,
right,
we sent a crew down to Florida to record what may be
her last interviews.
The last interviews. From what I understand, she did very few interviews.
Yes. Yeah, it was actually a pleasure to see those. So I think you're right. It was very rare to see her on film other than, you know, the films themselves.
Yeah. So I only know what I've read on the web. I have not heard from Peggy Sarno or Joe's biographer, Michael Bowen, at this point of us recording this. I know there's a big cult following around her films.
Definitely, and you can see why, because I had just posted this morning, she was probably the only domestic softcore erotic actress from that era that I really gave a damn about. Because usually I looked at people like Laura Gemser from the Emmanuel films, Soledad Miranda from the Franco films, people like that, you know, Edwidge Fennec from the Italian comedies and giallos. But when it comes to domestic people from that period, not many really stand out to me, but she was an actress. That was the surprising thing. I mean, even when she came out and did stuff like The Image or something like Confessions of a Young American Housewife, this is a woman that was, she had stage experience. She was out there and did things like Hair and Jesus Christ Superstar. I mean, she was Mary Magdalene at one point. This woman was fearless. I mean, she was doing things. You watch The Image nowadays and you're just like, oh my God. I mean, you can't picture someone now doing that. I mean, you know, even somebody like a Darian Cain, you're like, would she do this? I'm not sure. You know, it's really boundary pushing. And besides, she was gorgeous. You know?
Yes. Well, I know that Mary Mendham was certainly a favorite of Joe's. I mean, that one period.
He used her about six times.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Misty, which unfortunately is caught up in licensing hell. And then, of course, you mentioned Laura's Toys and, you know, Confessions of a Young American Housewife. She was in Abigail Leslie. She was in The Switch. I mean, it was just, you couldn't get away from her. Joe just constantly went to her. And that was the period when he was going into dealing with adult stars. And some of those, you know, people look down on it, but that was actually, I thought, some of his best films. Some of those people really could act.
Eric Edwards. Yeah.
He's really good.
Excellent.
He is really good.
He's excellent.
And, you know, even some of the other people that were involved there, what was her name? Jennifer Wells.
I mean, yes. Excellent.
They put on a good, you know, this is not like, oh, look, it's a porn star, they can't act. No, these people actually thought, I understand, I was talking to Roberta Finley, and her thing when she was talking about when she went into porn for a while, which she is totally unashamed of, she was telling me that, you know, the difference between the New York actors in porn and the L.A. actors is that the L.A. actors were just kind of, you know, doing it for the money, whereas the New York people actually, they were stage actors, and they took this seriously, which she found funny. But, you know, they didn't look at it like, okay, I'm just here to screw on camera. I am here to do an acting job, and therefore you're getting a higher caliber of performance out of them. And I guess Joe recognized this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But yeah, it's unfortunate because I understand she was only 60. I had heard from, I think Don May had posted that his understanding was that it was an accidental drowning.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know what the details are. But
yeah.
Nonetheless, it's...
Hopefully we'll hear some more. Yeah, that's definitely sad news.
Yeah.
You don't have any more bad news, do you?
I had just recently... I'd seen his films before. I'd seen the zombie bloodbath films that you'd put out. But I just recently started getting into Todd Sheets.
Yes, you have. I see on the Facebook you post.
Yes, because I was watching one of those sets. I think it was the Decrepit Crypt of Horror or something. And they had a whole bunch of J.R. Bookwalter Pendulum films on there. And it's all shot on video, which is why I got it. And he had about six or seven films on there. And after a while, I'm like, you know what? This is funny. I'm really enjoying these films. I'm looking forward to seeing them. It's also kind of amusing how, you know, he's doing these. He wants to be like the Prince of Gore and all this. And he actually, you know, presents himself this way. And yet every time at the end of the credits, there's something thanking Jesus. There's something about, there's always a scene in there about the character saying, oh, I don't want to mess with any of that devil stuff or whatever. Mm-hmm. So there's this dichotomy going on that it's almost like something like a Franco where you're sitting there like scratching your head. Does he realize that there's a dichotomy? What is he working out? So there's something deeper going on despite the fact that these are, you know, he's using local kids, really. It's not even actors. He's getting people that were around him in, I think he's in Kansas City, just people running the deli or, you know, people at the school or whatever. And he gathers them together, and most of these people can't act for a damn, but it's part of the experience.
Cast of hundreds.
Exactly. I mean, especially with the zombie bloodbath films. I mean, he must have had, like you said, hundreds of people in those films.
We're talking about Todd Sheets. Anyone out there listening should go to your Google.
The Google.
And Google Todd Sheets, and you'll see that he is certainly the Prince of SOV.
Yeah.
Early 90s, we're talking.
Right. But then you start seeing things like Goblin, and you start seeing things like The Witching, which he actually produced. He didn't direct that one, but it was still very much a
his.
Todd, yeah, it's very much a Todd Sheets film. And I'm sitting there like, I'm getting this. I'm enjoying this. And once again, the bottom line is I'm being entertained by this. It's fascinating me. And I'm like, okay, I want to put on a Todd Sheets film. It's not like, oh, God, here we go again. Unfortunately, what I discovered at the same time, I was looking around for more info, see if there's any more of these films out there that aren't just on a VHS copy moldering on somebody's shelf somewhere, is that apparently had recently had a heart attack. He had to do some open heart surgery.
True.
Which is not good news. So all the best to you, Todd. I do understand that he has recovered and he is hopefully back on his feet and ready to put out some more material for us.
He is the man behind the Jackalope Radio. Are you familiar with that?
Yes. Yeah, actually, a friend of mine, Josh Headley, is a big name on that.
If you type in Google Jackalope, I think it's Jackalope Radio, you'll come up with a whole menu of shows that Todd produces. Paranormal shows, shows on horror. He produces the 42nd Street Pete Grindhouse show and a number of others. So I know he's been mostly focusing on that aspect, you know, as far as, you know, what he's been doing with his time, as opposed to grinding out movies.
Yeah, I think he did do one fairly recently, like somewhere in the millennium, but most of his stuff was concentrated in the late 80s and the 90s. So yeah, that's been his main focus lately, Jackalope.
Hats off to Todd Sheets.
Yeah.
We all wish the best for Todd.
Yeah, Todd, I hope you get better for
I understand he's back on his feet.
He's all right.
Oh, that's good.
Zombie Bloodbath Trilogy.
They say the first heart attack is the toughest.
Russ, I know you have some news, but I have a tangent first I want to go off on. First, William is sporting his all-new Forced Entry t-shirt.
Mm. Oh, my God. That attracts attention, by the way.
Taught to Kill, rape was his own idea.
This is a
very industrious
t-shirt.
Young man.
AlternativeCinema.com. You can go there and buy your Forced Entry t-shirt.
Get your Forced Entry coffee cup.
Oh, be the sickest kid on the block.
By the way, I should mention really quick, I'm going to mention this probably a few times, from September 15th today through September 30th, if you go to AlternativeCinema.com, whatever you buy, in the comments section, you write, give me 10% off, and you get 10% off your entire order.
Wow.
Nice.
You can order whatever you want.
Can I put give me 50% off?
No. No. So you can go there, you buy everything you want, and when you check out, in the comments section, you write AC Podcast, 10% off, and we'll take that off your order.
Give me it.
Yeah.
Can you put 10%, you bastards?
Yeah, you're not going to see it immediately. What happens is...
That's even better.
Assholes.
We get the order, and Justin's going to, you know, shank it all.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
But that shirt is already ridiculously low. I think it's like, what? Is it like $14.99 or less?
I don't know.
Mike, you're giving it away.
You gave it to
him. He was asked about a Yankee Candle.
But anyhow, Bill has a Forced Entry t-shirt. It's a notorious 1974 hardcore kill. What would you call it? What kind?
It's a hardcore porn murder flick. It's a horror movie. It's great.
It's a horror movie. It's about a Vietnam vet. I know Kevin's interested. It's a Vietnam vet. He like loses his shit and he works at a gas station.
In New York.
He gets people's credit card numbers and addresses, and then at night he goes in, like sneaks in, and like stabs them.
It's not
after raping
nice.
Them.
It's rough though. I mean, it's full on porno. It's Harry Reams too, and he's
normal.
He's
the killer.
Porn, you know.
Harry Reams mustache.
And he plays the rapist.
Like him.
And it's rough. I mean, it's the first time I saw the movie, my stomach was really churning.
Wow.
And it was just like...
But you couldn't turn away.
Like a sweat. No, it was fun.
We put out a special edition DVD.
What's on there?
Yeah,
It has liner notes by the director.
Yeah.
Sean Costello.
Yeah.
Really, Sean?
Yeah, yeah, there's like a booklet in there, and like has the slip sleeve. Like it's all done.
When did
right.
this get released?
1974.
No, but I mean, when did you re-release
it? About 3 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's very popular.
Yeah, he was those shot in one day, or this one took a little longer?
I don't know, maybe 2 days.
No, probably more than that. It looks pretty.
But this is a movie that it got remade in 1975.
Well, didn't he most of his movies?
That's
didn't he make
afterwards?
Didn't him make most his movies in one day?
Yes, he did. You talk about his one day wonders.
Yeah,
but not all of his movies, like Dracula Exotica.
Dracula Exotica.
You ever see Dracula Exotica?
No.
No.
Is that the Jamie Gillis?
Jamie Gillis plays Dracula. It's a lavish 35mm production with like
really?
A castle. It's no one day wonder.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like
they actually
days.
Went to Romania to shoot the exteriors.
They went to somewhere, probably Queens.
Roller Coaster Studio.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But Bill has his forced entry T-shirt. Who's gonna wear this? Bill's like, I'm gonna wear it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you've been wearing it in public, and what's going on?
Aaron and I went to Yankee Candle because they have some Halloween stuff, some Halloween candles out, and we went to get a sampling of their dollar candles.
Mm-hmm.
We're broke. And the attendant that was at the desk when we first walked in gave me this kind of funny look and quickly ducked into the back room.
Uh-oh.
And I was thinking, like, you know, maybe it was the T-shirt. And then he brought out a younger female, and they were both kind of checking out my T-shirt, and we were looking at things, and I started talking to them about the candles and how much they were. And he asked me, he was like, what is that T-shirt? So I just flat out told him. I mean, you asked, right, buddy?
Yeah.
Like, and I think that's kind of a fun thing to do, like, just, you know, treat everybody like adults. And I told him that it was a, you know, hardcore porn murder flick, and it was hilarious, the look on their face. The girl was
Well, you said
okay.
It was a great gift for mom or grandma. And she was like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
It's like the holidays are coming up. You may want to think about
great.
That as
a
gift.
Great gift for your mother.
That's it. Anybody else look at you strange?
I've had a few looks, but I don't have any good stories about them.
It's a bold T-shirt.
It's exciting.
Sure is. It makes a bold statement.
Yeah.
Sure does.
So we
have Taught to Kill. Rape was his idea.
We have forced entry T-shirts, Cannibal Campout T-shirts,
Video Violence.
Thank you, Video Violence T-shirts.
How about Pink Delicates T-shirts?
No, yay. Not yet. Oh. What else do we have? Misty Bundy T-shirts.
Yeah, her butt. Your butt.
Your butt.
Your butt.
Your butt.
It's your butt T-shirt, like her ass.
It's called cheeky.
It's like pushing her ass.
Oh, right.
Butt. Your butt.
She never pushed that.
And are you thinking about doing? You said maybe a water power shirt.
Yes.
Another water power.
Yeah. It's a Jamie Gillis movie shot around the same time as Forced Entry.
Same director, right? Sean Costello?
Yes, and guy sneaks into women's apartments and gives them enemas.
Oh, dear.
And then rapes them.
And then rapes them.
It's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
But the
Bill
enema bandit.
About that.
He's an enema bandit.
These are real enemas?
Yes. Yeah.
That'd be good to commentary for.
Why?
And it was mafia produced. Mafia
well,
money.
I was going to say, who's making these movies?
42nd Street. That's
a mob
audience.
Guy would wow. say to Sean Costi, be like,
hey, buddy, we want you to do like a fetishy movie, like, I don't know, enema.
That's it. That's all he'd say, tell him. And then he'd go do it.
All right.
Wow.
So you were like the modern day Sean Costello.
Oh yeah,
for a while.
Sure.
Well, I want you to just go strangle some chicks.
Yeah, exactly.
Get the tops off and strangle some.
Chicks. Okay.
Go and write the the script.
We didn't write anything.
Well, make it up.
Sean Costello went and did it. And the amazing thing is, anything went. These played in real theaters on 42nd Street, and of course, all the music was like Emerson, Lake and Palmer, Beatles,
ripped
just
from,
you know,
all different places.
And they would just needle drop it onto mag tape, and then take the mag tape into the edit room.
Yeah,
and just no one would care.
Yeah,
And it's an amazing part of American
movie
history.
I fixed a couple of these movies.
Yes, you did.
And Kevin and I did a version of L.A. Woman.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah.
Joe Rock, Joe Rock superstar.
God, the worst.
Joe Cock. you ever see the movie?
Oh, yeah. That
Joe Cox.
He's dancing, and his dick is like 10 inches long, so he's like... It's like going around and he's spinning it in a circle.
But
Mark Stevens.
On stage and like Jamie Gillis is on drums. Chilling Costello's like, yeah. Nothing's in sync. Oh,
yeah,
it's awesome.
Terrible.
Cut to the audience. It's them in the audience wearing disguises.
Yeah.
It's like five people in the
total
audience.
Total low budget.
That's so great.
Amazing low budget. Yeah.
Trip over the mic cables at one point.
They're fun to watch,
how
though.
How much is that?
I don't remember. I did Joe Cox Superstar, right?
Yeah.
Honeymoon Suite.
Yeah, Honeymoon Suite, Sean Costello.
I'm sure I did a bunch more.
I think that when I was at the 1974 Famous Monsters Convention at the Commodore Hotel.
In 74?
In 74. I was 10 years old.
They were upstairs.
They were upstairs.
Filming.
Because the years match up, he shot at the Commodore Hotel, which was a shithole.
Wow.
So, like, the
as evidenced by the dirty feet of the people having sex in the beds.
Yeah.
The bottoms of everybody's feet are just filthy. Wow.
So the FM convention was November 1974.
Yeah.
And Sean was shooting these one-day wonders in 1974, often. I think chances are pretty high.
He probably couldn't have gotten a room at that time because of the convention.
But just weird, you know, that some of these films I'm distributing, and I could have actually passed... Like, it's like passed him in.
Could have bumped into him and he'd be like, hey, buddy. Like, oh, sorry. You never know.
Is he still alive?
Yes. Oh. He left that business in the 70s and he worked in like commercial, like
video.
Real commercial video. Yeah.
Let's call him up, talk him into making some new movies.
Yeah. Well, Joe Rock, too.
Starring you, Kevin Neblung.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll do news. And what we have on the show is we have all that stuff we just talked about. And much later in the show, Gene, who's been very quiet, these guys are going to leave, and Gene and I are going to talk about Joe Sarno. So we got an action-packed show. And then we're going to take a break, and we'll do a live song. That Dead Girl.
Yay!
Yes.
I can't wait.
A song for and about The Russ.
The Russ.
This program is brought to you by Alternative Cinema, your online source for independent DVDs and video dedicated to the enjoyment of independent and underground movies that range from the brilliant to the bizarre and everything in between. AlternativeCinema.com.
Hey, it's Mike Grasso from the Alternative Cinema Podcast, and we're here to talk about it. Planet of the Apes comic.
Whoa!
Wow! This is our first ever Seduction Cinema comic.
Wow.
Drawn and created by our good pal Noel Scotch Anderson.
Oh! Noel!
Yay, Noel!
Hey, Noel!
And it's not just a comic book, it's a comic book that comes with a DVD in it.
Wow.
That
includes
the Playmate of the Apes film. With brand new commentary tracks.
Wow.
That's why, right, I even dragged John in. We actually got their director in here, Zach Snigg.
Ooh, special. Wow. Heavy duty.
That's special.
Now, this is the gateway for kids to get into booby movies.
That's right.
Using comic books.
AlternativeCinema.com.
Taking off, folks.
Wow. AlternativeCinema.com.
Oh, I get it.
What else, Bill?
Grab a bucket and mop. Scrub the bottom and top. There is nothing so clean as my burger machine. With a broom and a brush, clean it up for the rush. Before you open the door, or to shine on the floor. When we finish one dance, start all over again. Tell me, what does it mean? At McDonald's it's clean. McDonald's.
Oh! Hey, we're back.
Hey.
It's time for the Russ News.
radio show.
Yay!
Yeah, this feels like an early morning show.
What show?
Like really early in the morning. Like,
imagine
like
if we had a real show to do. Great.
Somewhere.
What, do a real radio show?
Yeah, if we got, like, all of a sudden, let's
a pirate
say
show.
Howard Stern's like, you guys are the best.
Like someone from some big business calls is like, you guys got the best show. And then we never heard your show. We want you guys to fill in for them to do a morning show.
That dead girl.
I have a little calendar here. September 20th through the 30th is Giallo Fever at Anthology Film Archives in New York City.
Woohoo!
Yeah. They're going to be showing Bird with the Crystal Plumage, ooh, The Girl Who Knew Too Much, a.k.a. The Evil Eye, The House of the Laughing Windows, Don't Torture a Duckling,
woo,
The Strange Vice of Mrs. Ward. It has an H at the
Ward.
End.
Mrs. Fidelli.
It has an H at the end.
Sure, mom.
My mother.
Solid H.
Deep Red, What Have You Done to Solange, A Quiet Place in the Country, Perversion Story, a.k.a. One on Top of the Other, and Blood and Black Lace. For dates and times, check out anthologyfilmarchives.org.
Nice.
So, yeah, so, we're going to go to that.
Yeah!
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So oh, my.
Loud.
We're going to go. We're going to go to one of the nights.
Yeah, Mike, you're going to come with us, right?
You tell me I got to go.
Don't
really?
Torture a Duckling. Is on the 21st.
Yeah, that sounds,
it's a Friday
that
night.
Sounds interesting. What's that all
it's
about?
It's an amazing picture by Lucio Fulci before he was doing horror pictures. It's a giallo.
Oh, really?
About a child murderer. And it's pretty intense. Yeah, it's really great. And the music is by Ennio Morricone. And we brought...
Oh, no kidding.
We actually brought a rock song from the film that's not by Morricone.
Yes.
Rock?
Crazy by Wes and the Airedales,
yeah.
And it's seriously one of the best songs ever.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I really love it. So yeah, we're gonna go see Don't Torture Duckling. We might see what is it? The House of the Laughing Windows. Is that the one that plays before it?
Yeah,
we'll see.
So drink this.
It's good stuff.
You're like, duh, okay.
All right.
What do you
so, I have a couple of dates in October.
Yes!
October 12th, Fiona Apple concert in Montclair.
Yay!
We are all going.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about Kevin, but
what time
but
are you guys
going
to show
we
up
are
to stand online?
He doesn't go.
Yeah, he's my standby.
Oh.
Awesome.
Okay. Very
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. So, if you're smart, you'll go. You can get tickets at wellmonttheater.com.
Montclair, New Jersey.
You can sleep on John's couch if you get too drunk to drive.
She's also playing that same week at the Capitol Theater. Is branded the Capitol Theater.
Where?
So I have seen her in concert before. Five times.
Wow, really?
So, yeah, my first. Oh, really? Yeah, my first time was in 1997,
really?
March 15th. Yeah, March 15th, 1997. I got my picture taken with her. I met her backstage. She was 19.
Where's this picture?
She was. I have it in my house.
You're not on
at
Facebook,
my house.
John.
Yeah.
She was 19 and I was 16,
wow.
So it was pretty cool. And then I went and saw her again in 1999. And then in 2005, I saw her three more times. I saw her at The Tonight Show, Jay Leno, Jimmy Kimmel Live, and...
Oh, you were out in California at that time.
Yeah, all these performances were in LA.
You went to The Tonight Show performance. You were in the audience?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
He just sent me that link. No, not The Tonight Show. You sent me the Letterman link.
I didn't see her on Letterman,
yeah,
but...
She's out in New York.
Yeah.
What do you like about the new album?
Oh, God. It's very different from her other work, but I love it. Yeah.
What's your favorite song?
Well, I...
Wolfman?
the
no,
Werewolf.
What's it called? Werewolf.
Everyone out
Werewolf
there listening should get the album. This is a Wolfman song.
Yeah.
It's a Werewolf.
It's very her, but the sounds are a bit different. But every single night, I think I relate to the lyrics the most, so I like that one a lot. But my other favorites are
this is
Daredevil,
of that record or of all her stuff?
No, this record.
Daredevil,
Left Alone, and I like Periphery too. I think I like all those because they're fun to sing along with.
What's your favorite song by her?
Fast as You Can.
Oh, that's a good one.
Fast as You Can.
We're talking about Fiona Apple, folks.
What's the one? Sailor. I saw her perform that.
I love that song.
Live.
You know Fiona? No, it's the third or fourth.
The video is really beautiful.
Wait a minute.
With the Zach Galifianakis in the video.
That's another one of my all-time favorites. Not About Love.
All you hard-ass so guys cool. out there listening, all the guys out there listening, who listen to the music like this. Listen, man, you could secretly listen to Fiona Apple. And really
Fiona
enjoy
Apple.
It. Fiona Apple.
It's actually pretty heavy.
Yeah, and yeah. like
Jessica
it's really good.
And
it's
really good music.
It's really good, and you don't just don't tell anybody.
Just don't tell anybody.
Just make sure it's not.
It's what they call a guilty pleasure.
Yes.
Happy belated birthday, Fiona.
Oh my goodness!
You know she's listening.
Yeah. I know. And I also wanted to mention that Fiona's dad, Brandon Maggart, played Santa in Christmas Evil, which I think is pretty cool.
Really?
Yeah. Her dad
was fact.
In a horror movie.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Starred awesome. In a horror movie, so that's very cool. Okay, so... okay, so next up, Chiller Theater. They have moved. They're going to be at the Sheraton Parsippany Hotel.
Tara.
Really?
It's called the Tara as
looks
well.
Looks like a castle.
Looks like a castle. No, but you're right. You're correct. But they also
four
call
walls
it the Tara.
And drywall.
I hope
Tara's
I like
fault.
It.
They had to move the convention. No. Who's Tara?
You've been there yet?
What did you do?
Tara. I've been bent to the new location. I hope I like it because I was happy with the old location.
Yeah, people get used to the location. Don't like
yeah,
things after.
It makes me uncomfortable. I'm like, what's it
you know the layout.
It's going to be like every other hotel. There's big rooms.
Yeah.
A hotel's
I just
a hotel.
I wonder if it's like laid out the same, like, you know.
It will be.
But Barbara Steele's going to be a guest, so I'm excited. No. Chiller's October 26th through the 28th. Alternative Cinema will have a table there,
yes.
So make sure to buy Bill's movies.
Are we going?
Woo-hoo.
We say every Chiller we say we're going, and
you
we never go.
You guys aren't going. Don't even talk about it.
I'll go if you go.
Yeah,
that's what you said last time.
He never goes. Did you guys go? How many days you go? You go Friday and Saturday night?
Friday night.
Oh, that's
yeah,
you only go Friday.
No, we don't. Need to go.
How about you, Evan? You want to go?
Sure. When does it start?
I'll go if we can play. If
October
the pink delegates can play with the Mad Elvi. What are they called?
We'll be there on the 20th.
The Dead Elvi.
The Dead Elvi. If the pink delegates can play with the Dead Elvi.
You can play. They'll just make you go on at like 4 in the morning.
Like a, what do you call it?
Awesome.
Structure Taliban?
Yeah.
That long.
Be awesome. Buy Bill's movies, The Devil's Bloody Playthings, and Orgasm, Torture, and Satan's Rape Clinic.
Buy two.
You will be helping us buy food for our new kittens, Alan and Anya.
Yeah. Yay.
We named them after Alan and Anya Ormsby from Children Shouldn't Play With Dead Things.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
I like sweet. I like it.
They're crazy. They're
how wild. Many cats do you guys have now?
We just have the two kittens.
One died of heart attack.
Heart attack.
Oh, poor baby. Yeah.
Jupiter passed away.
Really?
So we spent a month catless, and then we got these two crazy revved up kittens.
How long do cats
the
live
bite.
For?
Nipple
biters. Nipple.
Oh.
Yeah.
What do you mean right. a nipple biter? Bite your nipples?
Yeah, I'm sitting on the computer this
thank
morning.
Thank God
with
I'm
Alan
not topless.
My,
yeah, you got your boobs too?
No. Alan in my...
I'm
know,
not being topless
on
the
seat,
him.
And he just kept nipping my
and
nipples.
You, that's really funny.
He's very it's funny, a, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What's he doing this Saturday? He's a friend. Hey.
Ma'am? Ma'am? Ma'am?
Oh, man.
Meow, okay. Meow.
Also, make sure to stop by Little Punk People's.
Yes.
Table. Yeah, see the Little Punk People.
Yeah. Okay, last calendar date, December 1st, Hudson Horror 6. Hudson Horror Show 6.
What
yeah.
show?
They're going to be showing Reanimator, Conan the Barbarian, Phantasm 2, The Devil's Reign, Switchblade Sisters, plus a secret feature. Secret
Devil's feature. Reign. That's a good one. Ernest Borgnine.
Did you say Devil's
I've
Reign?
I've never seen
she
that.
She sure did.
I've never seen that.
It's
it has
cheesy.
Anton LaVey in
oh,
it, right?
Terrible.
Oh, does it? I don't even know who that
he
is.
He probably just makes a cameo. He's from the Church of Satan.
Bill Shatner's in it.
Bill
the
Shatner?
Founder.
Yep.
But go on down to Poughkeepsie, go see that show.
John, I would want to go Travolta. For Switchblade Sisters.
John Travolta is very smart.
But I'm not really. On August 18th, we went to Anthology Film Archives to see a double feature of Jeff Lieberman's films, Just Before Dawn and Squirm. Jeff presented both films and did Q&As afterward. Bill spotted Thurston Moore from Sonic Youth sitting alone in the row in front of us.
Where's Kim?
Which was cool.
They busted up.
Yeah, they
oh, they did?
It's done.
Wow.
Finished.
She's available.
Yeah.
The band's busted.
No, just their relationship. They were married.
Long time.
Yeah.
So you guys were in New York City.
Yeah.
At a theater.
Yeah. Bill did the DVD commentary with Jeff for Just Before Dawn. Yeah, and they spoke in between films, and Jeff told him that Quentin Tarantino said he hates DVD commentaries, but he loved the Just Before Dawn commentary, and it's his favorite.
Because Jeff is so negative.
Oh, really?
It's so, like, totally.
That's funny. Why did I shoot this?
Yeah,
I just don't want to listen like to DVD commentary tracks. They're just so distracting.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, what the fuck?
he's great. He's pretty.
Yes, I thought that was cool.
He doesn't hold back.
Quentin Tarantino gets a lot of tail.
How do you know?
I mean, would be a lot for that.
He did Iconoclast with Fiona Apple. It was like an hour-long thing for Sundance
where they
hung out and stuff. Yeah, I like
that. Yeah, it was pretty good. Well,
they
he worships
her.
I'll reveal the gift.
Oh,
food.
Reveal.
Okay. We food. Also went to a shop called Obscura Antiques and Oddities. We recently watched a marathon of the show Oddities, which follows the operation of the shop. When we went to the shop, we saw a taxidermy two-headed calf, human bones, and antique medical instruments.
For thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shit's expensive.
Uh-oh.
This isn't from there, but this is all starting to catch on everywhere. All this kind of weird stuff like you'd find at these like oddity stores and everything. I don't know if we brought these before, but
no.
These are sour cream and onion crickets.
Oh.
You have to eat them.
No, never.
Yes, you do. You do.
Aaron got them for you.
Oh, no, really.
Yeah, I
hate bugs.
But they're good.
No, you don't know. Mike does not like bugs.
John, you're going to have one.
I don't know.
Because you didn't
that.
Have that Doritos
oh
taco.
Oh, my God. That is so disgusting.
It's like if you eat it at the same time. Both
dude,
ways.
This is what I find in cameras.
I have eaten them before.
Totally. Yeah. Actually,
I buy vintage cameras from like the early 60s.
Right? Yeah, I've eaten them before.
Yeah,
I've eaten them before, and they're actually good. I'm not even kidding.
All right,
you get little bits
no,
in
stop.
Your
no,
you get,
away.
You get little yeah, you no. get little bits in your teeth though. So
God, they want to go home and tell my kids.
Kid, Mike, come on.
No, I don't want.
You know what?
They're a little.
Come on.
They're a little. They're crunchy. They're
Noel's gonna get mad.
They have a
Noel,
little.
Noel, you're gonna have to ride in.
I'd rather walk on hot coals.
But they're
not
bad, right?
Yeah, sour cream.
You should put some crickets in your Johnny Walker drink.
Oh, you got
too much.
You gotta pour it like a man.
Some for our homies.
There you go.
You have to put your pee
for those who passed away.
5 grams in this one.
All right. 5 grams of what?
5 grams.
You guys have eaten these before.
Yeah, they get stuck in your teeth a little bit, but they're good.
Feed the world. Go feed the world with crickets.
Come on, I'll do it.
You'll do it. Yes.
Kevin's doing it, right?
Mike's
upset.
But
they're selling
Mike's
these
upset
at
right now.
Topic now.
Just, give me a head.
It's okay.
So I just want a head.
Like okay, cool. Okay.
It's gone mainstream.
Who's going to hold up the box?
Yeah, it's gone mainstream. Totally.
What box? Oh, yeah.
You hold up the box. You're
it has to be in there.
How much are these crickets?
A Woody Allen moment?
The crickets have to be in the box.
The crickets in the box for a second?
It's not going to make sense.
What are those, like $5?
Yeah, something like that.
They feed these to freaking rats or mice, don't they?
One of them
snakes.
Snakes, yes.
You guys ever see a cave cricket?
Yeah,
yeah,
those
we have them
jump,
in our house.
Like, in your hair and everything. Like, yeah.
Oh, they're
I'm going to open this
yeah.
and fly.
No, please don't.
Oh, they eat them, right?
Yeah.
All right.
All right, last thing. As seen on TV product commercials.
Yeah, you guys have got a weird fetish going on here.
Yeah, a little
yeah.
bit.
Let's,
there's just a couple.
I'm going to play the spot right now.
Okay, play the spot.
Yeah, here's the spot.
You love that low-cut top for going out at night, but sometimes showing that much cleavage just isn't right. You've tried safety pins, but they leave holes and just look wrong. And with a camisole, you end up tugging and adjusting all day long. Well, now there's Cami Secret, the new fashion accessory that looks just like a camisole. But watch closely. Because here's the real secret. It's designed to attach quickly and easily right to your bra strap. You can even adjust your Cami Secret up or down, so you can decide just how much cleavage you'll show. Unlike regular tank tops that ride up and down, Cami Secret stays securely in place, so it's more comfortable to wear. Pins pull open and leave holes in your clothes, but Cami Secret attaches to your bra, so you can wear all your favorite tops without ruining them. Perfect for controlling neckline on delicate dresses. or adding a touch of color to any top. Even a plain button-down shirt looks much better. And you can enjoy wearing all your wrap tops without being overexposed. Made of breathable material with a beautiful lace border in a variety of designer colors, Cami Secret lets you expand your wardrobe and get a layered look without adding bulk. Machine washable, one size fits all, whether you're petite or full figured. So don't leave your favorite tops in the closet just because the neckline's too low.
So, John?
I've seen that.
Oh, you have?
No. I have no
I'm
idea what
surprised you haven't
about.
Seen it. If you saw
is
it, you know
it. Is there a
particular
channel it's on or anything?
Channel 19. Watch it. Watch Inside Edition. It'll probably air. Cami Secret is a fabric that you hook onto your bra to give the appearance of a camisole under your shirt. The infomercial almost always airs during Inside Edition. They actually stopped showing it for a few days, and we were genuinely upset.
Yeah, it was messed up.
Because we thought we were never going to see it again.
It's depression.
When it came back on almost a week later, we actually gasped in excitement.
Well,
I know what Bill's getting you for Christmas.
Now, have you been in a situation like that at work, Aaron, where you walk in, you have like a really low cut, like Frankenstein shirt on or something, and like the boss comes in, oh, this paper, whoa.
Ooh, ooh. And the boss gets embarrassed because, I mean, this is
no.
The
can you please
no,
take care of
boss,
it? It's very important.
I think my boss would like that, but no.
Did I ever tell you you're my best friend, my best employee?
So there are actually two women in the commercial, but the best one is this woman.
Yeah, Allison, it's Allison.
Allison Mosler?
Do you guys like her because she's a little bit
Mossier.
Off?
Mossier.
Mossier.
What?
Do you like her because she's a little bit off? Little
she's
bit
funny. Off. Yeah, she's very funny.
This woman could possibly push me to like actually make new movies. Like, all of a sudden, I gave Bill a budget. Like, Bill, you need to make a movie, and she needs to star in it. With Aaron.
But on the cover, it would have to say Allison Mosier from Cami Secret. Because that would just be
absolutely.
The most bizarre movie cover ever.
Now, is there a cult following here? Aaron, what else do you have?
Well, tell the rest.
Yeah, tell me the rest. What's going on? I'm so excited.
Yeah, well, I did a Google search to find out who she was. And I found her on Facebook.
I've seen it.
Bill wanted an autograph picture of her for his birthday, so I messaged her on her fan page and asked for one.
How did you find her?
I did a Google search.
Cami Secret
model or whatever. I don't know.
Everybody's on the Facebook.
So she is a fan page. Yeah.
She's a comedian.
She's an actress, yes.
She would love to be in a horror movie.
You should go to her website, AllisonMosier.com. I'll spell it. AllisonMosier.
Everyone needs to go to her website and check in.
Yeah, she's really cool. She sent him an autograph, her comp card.
That's awful nice.
Which is beautiful.
Yeah.
So, and go to CamiSecret.com to see the commercial and, of course, to purchase boob aprons, as Allison calls them.
Yeah. If you're, let's say, if
Mike,
you...
Mike, are you getting one?
If you or your significant other has a pair of jugs.
Big jugs.
Yeah. You may want...
If you're jugalicious,
yeah,
you may want to look into
some of those jugs.
Maybe.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
And if you just... basically, if you're too cheap to buy a camisole...
Well, they show in the commercial, like, it gets bunched up. And then they even have her putting a safety pin through her... Girls do not take safety pins and put them,
it's like an alien wrote
cleavage.
The commercial.
Another as seen on TV product commercial I wanted to mention is what?
Instead of the Kiss Army.
Cami Secret Army.
Yeah.
Kids
Army.
Overturning cars and stuff.
Where's Allison?
Yeah, just on the outside of their shirts.
We should start that as a trend. Start wearing Cami Secret.
Women get breast
outside.
Implants
the
so
podcast.
They could wear the Cami Secret.
I'll get two of them, wear them as a loincloth.
I'll just wear it over my butt.
Ted Nugent.
You know, like the back.
There you go.
An extra flap.
Instead of using a scarf, you could use a Cami Secret.
Yeah.
On your head.
Maybe I should buy some for you guys.
Let's get some.
It's
Python. It'll be fun. Yay!
Yay! Okay, another as seen on TV product commercial I wanted to mention is one for a product called Lint Lizard.
Your dryer runs forever, and your clothes still come out damp? Now you can speed up your dryer by up to 15 minutes. Introducing the Lint Lizard. It's like a magic wand that cleans deep into any dryer. The flexible Lint Lizard attaches right to any vacuum hose. Look how much lint we got out of this dryer. All this lint that escapes past your lint screen. Yuck! A clogged dryer works harder. All that lint can even burn out your motor. Or worse, it can start a dangerous vent fire. It's a full 40 inches long and cleans deep into your vent system, grabbing all the packed-in lint that's choking your dryer. After a quick cleaning with the Lint Lizard, your dryer vent is clear, making it work less and run more efficiently. Old-fashioned lint brushes pull out some lint, and the lint gets everywhere. The Lint Lizard cleans deeper and sends the lint right into your vac bag. Vacuuming between machines and under appliances is a snap. Take it outdoors to vac your outside vent. So before you spend a fortune on costly repairs, order your Lint Lizard.
Have you heard of that? Lint Lizard.
What's Lint Lizard?
Okay, you attach it to your vacuum cleaner, and its built-in fan nozzle reaches into the lint catcher in your dryer and the dryer vent outside to clear the dryer clogging lint.
My dryer vent is like a 20-foot run.
You can see we're going a little bit bizarre.
You have to have like a...
We didn't do the outside yet, but it has an extension. It's like this little artwork thing, you know?
Will it also get lint out of your belly button? Do you know this?
It's very pleasurable.
Might have to check that out.
Okay, Bill wanted one for his birthday.
Yes.
So I went on their website and saw that they had a deal for buy two and get the Dust Lizard for free.
Whoa. How's the Dust Lizard work?
Have you used it?
Yeah, we cleaned a vent that hadn't been cleaned in like 30 years.
It worked?
Yeah.
It got all the dust out.
Dust from the factory 2000 days is all gone.
So if you have a vent, you need to get dust out of it.
Yeah, it's just got a little like a brush and nozzle and attaches to
Get out.
I don't know why. It's the Alternative Cinema podcast, everybody.
We're talking about this. I know. The audience must be so
But we all
You don't
want to
go making
right
a movie
now.
In your house with 30 vents.
Aaron, Russ, and I have
weren't they
our brains
about
have
movies?
Turned to absolute mush from watching so many horror
talking
films that we're just
that this is the new
starving for the
guys.
New entertainment.
But you love these commercials.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. The, in the Lint Lizard commercial, the reason I think I fell in love with it is because the dryer goes on fire and it goes.
I think he liked that.
You know
He's
what?
Like,
they got to
get a fire.
They got to get a Shockorama type collection together. Or what was the collection of all movie
Shock
trailers?
Fest.
Shock Festival.
Yes.
They
got to
get one of those with just all instrumentals. A
YouTube.
DVD of all instrumentals. Infomercials.
Yeah, little crazy commercials.
I would love that. I'd buy that. I'd watch
what
that.
About
classics like the Clapper?
Clap on. Clap off, clap on, clap off,
the clapper. Let you turn things on or off from anywhere in the room. Just plug in the clapper and a television, lamp, stereo, almost anything you want to clap on and off.
Clap on, clap off, clap on, clap off, the clapper.
Clapper is available at Meijer, Perry, Hills, and Osco. Get yours today.
Why don't you go poop, John, and then we'll talk.
What poop? I'm just going to pee real quick.
Okay.
If I fart, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. He's in there peeing. So it's like, you hear like pee,
too.
And then like, boop.
If you had like a mic on, it'd be the best. You know, just keep, you obviously put it up, knowing Mike, instead of pulling it down, you put a
mic in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Next show, I'm going to get the wireless mic, John. Hey, this is Michael Rosso from the Alternative Cinema Podcast, here to tell you about KillerReviews.com. That's right, KillerReviews.com. Greg Dumont, you know, our pal, Greg. KillerReviews.com and the Killer Reviews Podcast. That's right. Fans of the AC Podcast will love the Killer Reviews Podcast. KillerReviews.com. Reviews, blogs, a forum, Film Finder, the KR Store, Girls of Horror, The Graveyard, Interview, Articles, Horror Arcade. Should I go on and on and on? If you like cult movies, spooky horror, or girls in bikinis, KillerReviews.com. The podcast, the site, be there. KillerReviews.com. Check it out.
Hey, I'm Noel Anderson, cartoonist, radio announcer, and AC podcast wannabe.
Now that's just sad.
It's sad, and it's pathetic.
I know. I've diabolically insinuated myself into the AC family by producing the first ever Seduction Cinema comic book.
Oh, very sexy.
That's right. Playmate of the Apes is now a comic book. For more info on my ridiculous artwork and how it can be used to promote and market your movie, go to goofroof.com. Goofroof.com. Want me to draw you some dirty pictures? Goofroof.com. Goofroof.com. You want to see what other filth I've drawn over the years?
What a dirty, filthy mind you got.
Goofroof.com.
So we have some releases coming up. Pork Chop 2, Rise of the Rind.
Oh, yeah.
And Zombie Babies.
Oh, yeah.
This is a good time to talk about Amon Hardiman, Aaron Russ. Aaron, you were in Pork Chop. John's peeing. I don't know if we can pick him up.
It's a rodeo in there.
Not.
It's a rodeo.
Yes, I was in Pork Chop.
Desiree, Desiree Saisha was in Porkchop 2, Rise of the Rind, and she was recently in our studio. And this was a good opportunity to roll that in.
Oh, yeah, let's roll it in.
So, ladies and gentlemen, you're never going to guess who's sitting here. Desiree Saisha.
Hello.
All you podcast listeners that are like diehard listeners will know that Desiree's been on the show.
I have. I've been on the show once before.
Yes.
It's been quite a while.
It's been quite a while.
But it was so much fun that I had to badge you to get me back in.
You were on the whole, we're on the whole show, right? Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
From what I recall.
For folks who don't know, Desiree is a musician, actress, and she's in a film that Alternative Cinema is putting out called Zombie Babies. Zombie Babies. Like, okay, how'd that happen?
Wow.
But what's the chain? Like, how? Because you're all the way up here in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And
Eamon is from West Virginia.
It's like all the way down there.
Mm-hmm. It was actually kind of a fluke how this happened. I had worked with Sean C. Phillips on a film with Chris Seaver, I believe. Mm-hmm. Or he was somehow related to the project, and that was how I met him. And he was a part of Zombie Babies. He had already been cast in the film before I even knew about it. He's a really nice guy. He's very supportive and really sweet, and basically said that, you know, he was like,
you know, I really like you,
and I want to help you get some work if you're looking for some work and you want to keep making these movies. He's like, I'm going to, you know, let you know what I'm doing, and if you're interested, I'll talk to the director and I'll just put in a good word for you.
Mm.
So that's pretty much exactly how it happened. He told me about Zombie Babies, and I thought it was an awesome concept. I was really intrigued by the idea.
Yes.
And I was like, yeah, you know, talk to him, see if he's interested. And he spoke to Eamon and explained that I was from, you know, quite a distance and that I couldn't come to the in-person audition. So Eamon just sent me some sides and had me do an audition video to send to him.
Mm-hmm.
For the character of Capri. And I did it. And within a couple days, you know, he basically responded and said that he would love to have me as long as I was able to make the trip. And I did.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. That's how it happened.
And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like?
It was awesome. It was awesome. I think the most fun that I've had making a movie was making Zombie Babies. It was incredible. We like showed up, you know, they gave us the address to where we would be shooting, and we were staying on location because we shot in what was a hotel. In the film, it's more presented as a house, I suppose,
mm-hmm.
but it had been used as a hotel. It's like historic in the town that we shot it in, historically known that they actually found a dead baby in a suitcase in one of the rooms that somebody had stayed in and then left.
For real.
Actually happened long, long time ago. I think it was like in the 40s.
Okay.
So they had like the little newspaper clipping, you know.
Whoa.
What I mean? Like on a board as soon as you walk in.
Mm-hmm.
But the building is like really creepy. Like you drive up to it and you can tell that it has a lot of like history and a lot of character, and it's stayed, you know, in its same form for years. They didn't remodel or anything like that. You come inside and you come upstairs, and I think there were three or four floors, and there's just like so much character, and the architecture was pretty amazing. So as soon as we like walked in, I was like, this is the perfect setting, you know, like you immediately, it's creepy, you know, you immediately feel like the movie makes sense, like being shot there.
Yep.
You know, and we stayed. There were a couple rooms that had been renovated that we stayed in. You know, there were beds in the rooms and there were bathrooms and showers and things like that. And everybody, the whole cast and crew, got to stay in the hotel together. There was like a kitchen, you know, they had someone make us breakfast every day. Somebody on the crew would make us breakfast, make us coffee.
Community.
Yeah, it was really sweet. Eamon, to reward us for all of our hard work, got actually a massage therapist on one of the days to come in.
No way.
Yeah, everybody got a massage.
Holy smokes.
It was really awesome. You know, Ford Austin was also in the film. He's great, you know, and he also has a podcast, I believe. And he interviewed all of us as well during like one of the nights off. You know, he did a podcast and had everybody talk a little bit about it. And that was a lot of fun. It was nice. It was a very close-knit group. Everybody got along immediately.
Wow.
And, you know, we had a really good time with the fake pregnant bellies and, you know, the just everything, the script, everything about the movie. Like, It was great. It was great. It was one of my favorites.
How many days were you on set?
I was on set, I think it was 7 days. It was from a Thursday to a Thursday.
No kidding.
No, yeah.
7 days.
Yeah, if I recall correctly, it was seven
Whoa.
Days. And some of the cast was there longer.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. I know that Kaylee, she was there longer. Mm-hmm. We all arrived on the first day together,
okay.
And she stayed past when Ruby and myself left. Ruby and I drove down together.
This is Ruby LaRocca.
Yes, yes.
I'm sure folks listening.
Yeah,
know
I just
who
assumed
is.
That the audience knew who she was. she had to come back for an obligation, and so did I for that Friday.
Right.
So I remember waiting for her. All my scenes had been shot, and I was already, you know, technically set loose or whatever, and I had to wait for her. They like had to move the shooting schedule around a little bit so that they could finish shooting her scenes
mm-hmm.
that Thursday night. So we ended up leaving West Virginia about sometime between 10 and 11 p.m. We didn't get back to New Jersey. We just drove straight through the night and didn't get back to New Jersey until like 7 a.m.
Okay.
Because we both had to be back on Friday. So it was pretty intense, but
yeah.
It was great. It was just, you know, it was like probably from that point we were still excited and full of adrenaline
mm-hmm.
and just, you know, got some coffee.
So the experience was a positive one, so you must be excited that it's coming out.
I am excited. I actually didn't know that you were going to be releasing it.
Eamon shot Zombie Babies, and he also shot a sequel to Pork Chops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
I mean, we put out, you know, cult, strange, mm-hmm. psychotronic,
the things that
horror,
we all like. Yes.
Spooky,
mm-hmm.
you know, movies. So, absolutely does
so it fit
sense.
Right in.
And I think that it's a winner because, it's called Zombie Babies.
Yeah, how can you go wrong with
you
that?
You know, and everyone is watching, like, you know, Walking Dead.
Right.
And, like, everyone's, like it's, like, zombie mania.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just even the title alone, even aside from having zombie in the title, Zombie Babies, I think it just kind of sucks
yeah.
you in. It's very intriguing.
Yeah.
It's provocative.
So since we last spoke, you have to just update me and update listeners about your music career. Is it same, different, exciting?
Like
you still playing?
Always. I'll probably never stop. it's only progressed in the sense that I think the last time I was here, we had only just recorded. We didn't even have any vocals. We had just recorded the music, and we hadn't started any of the vocals yet or anything like that. So, you know, we ended up finishing shortly after, and we released our EP. It was very limited. We only made 100 copies because we made them all by hand.
And this is Monday Night Bear Claw.
Yes.
And who is in Monday Night Bear Claw?
Monday Night Bear Claw is myself, my friend Kate Lewis,
yes.
and our other friend Ashley Parsons.
Yes.
So it's just the three of us three gals. And so we finished recording, and we put the EP together ourselves, and it was all personalized. You know, we numbered and signed every copy
cool.
just because we thought it was cute. And we sold out of them. We want to make more, but we've kind of just been, you know, deciding what our next move is going to be. We, you know, played the EP for a year and all the shows we had and promoted and, you know, picked up a little bit of a fan base, I think. we
right.
had our fun. And now we just want to move on to whatever the next logical step would be. So we want to start writing new music, maybe not changing the music so much, but just whatever feels like, you know, is making progress, work on some new stuff, and hopefully get a new recording out soon. I joined another band. I actually joined when we started Monday Night Bear Claw, we started it because we were sick of having full bands, you know.
Okay.
Like we had all kind of gotten sick of the routine of, you know, playing with two guitarists and a bassist and a drummer, and, you know, it's all very systematic the way the songs are written, and you are kept very tightly within what you can do vocally or lyrically or, you know, melodically, and it's very structured and very specific.
Right.
So we all had gotten sick of that, and that's why we did Monday Night Bear Claw, because it was basically a free-for-all, you know, for us as
yep.
artists, and we just made it really fun and did it for fun. But I only could stay away from that for so long. I joined a band with my friend Seth, who plays guitar. He and I actually had a band together in high school.
No way.
Yeah. So it's been quite some time. I've known him for 13 years. He's like one of my best friends, and he's been trying to convince me to do another band with him because we've always written very well together. And
is it a duo?
No, it's a full band now. It just kind of started with me and him saying, like, yeah, like, let's just do it, you know, like, we'll write some songs and not expecting anything. We're just going to do what we do and see how it goes. But now it is, it's me and him and our other guitarist, Dave, and our drummer, Tim, and our bassist, Mickey. And we don't have any recordings yet, but we have only just written our first couple songs. It's very new.
What's that called?
It's called Caught by a Lion.
Okay.
And we're probably going to have our first show in May, we're assuming.
What kind of music?
You know, it's so hard to really fit it into a genre. It's nothing crazy. It's nothing groundbreaking. Okay. We're not creating any new genres or anything like that. When someone asks me, I would classify it as like aggressive indie rock. Like I wouldn't even say it's like aggressive rock and roll, because it does have a lot of groove and a lot of moodiness and a lot of feel. So that's where the indie rock is to me, you know, sort of being like this very organic.
What do you play?
I sing.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
And you write some of the stuff.
I write, so far, for the first three songs that we've written, I've written the lyrics to two of them and most of the melodies to two of them. And then the third one, our guitarist Dave wrote, we actually wrote the lyrics together because he had had a melody in mind already, which is great. I mean, he's very talented. His melody is really interesting. Like, I actually love the song that he wrote. So because he already had the melody in mind, we sort of had to write lyrics that would fit into the melody and make sense. So we wrote that one together, you know.
And the energy is good.
It's good.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's nice. You know, it's very laid back. It's relaxed. Like, we all, again, the bands I had in the past, you know, we wanting to be musicians as a career choice would always just get together and be like, okay, well, this is what we should do, and we have to market ourselves this way, and it has to be like this, and, you know, this is going to be our demographic, and, you know, we got to make merch and try and sell blah, 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 blah. And that's so emotionally exhausting.
Yep.
You know, and there's really not enough payoff. Like, I guess I'm at the stage of my life where I just want to make music that I'm happy about, you know?
Right.
And I think that the five of us have that together. So it's nice. It's nice to just sit down and...
Yeah, I would say that success, unfortunately, incorporates stress.
Yes.
Because then it becomes a business. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, like, all this stuff and, yeah, like...
And it's almost as
if... It's a hard juggle.
Right. And the business just becomes so distracting. It's like we made music because we wanted to make music and then tried to turn it into a business and tried to market it as a business. And then it really loses what we came together to do to begin with.
Right.
And it was never fulfilling. I'm feeling positive.
Good.
About it.
And there's a third band?
No.
Oh, okay.
Just the two.
Okay,
yeah.
Just
oh,
two.
No. Yeah, I like to get things done and keep myself busy, but that would probably put me a little bit over the edge as far as time management is concerned. My time management skills, got to work on those.
And the Monday Night Bear Claw is still on the Facebook?
Yes.
So people can go there?
Yes, Monday Night Bear Claw. Both bands are on Facebook. Caught by a Lion's Facebook page is very new, so you'll be able to find it if you look for it, and
yes,
you can like it so that you can stay updated for when we do post songs. But right now there's nothing on it. Just the name of everybody in the band, the name of the band.
Yeah.
There's no photos or anything yet. We're still, like I said, very new. We're still working on it. But Monday Night Bear Claw's page is fully functional, and we update regularly, and... That's also probably pretty easy to find. And
yeah.
There aren't very many other bands with names, you know, in that category. So,
well, I'm pretty excited. First of all, I didn't know what your experience was like on Zombie Babies.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really thrilled to hear that that was like a blast.
Yeah, it was great.
I mean, that's when you have good experiences like that.
I wish that I lived a little bit closer and that I was able to have a little bit more of an open schedule at this point in my life so that I could, you know, work with Eamon again. I would love to work with him again. He asked me if I could, you know, do something in Pork Chops, and the scheduling just didn't work out. I just wasn't able to clear my schedule enough and to plan my transportation and my return transportation, because it's, you know, it's a 7-hour drive. So 7 hours is nothing. You know what I mean? It's basically like a work shift. It's not a big deal. And because it's only 7 hours, flying seems superfluous. So really taking an airplane never really even factored in. But even just that 7-hour drive on the, you know, like, and then the extra days with the shooting and factoring in the coming home and everything, it just,
yeah,
unfortunately didn't work out. But I'm sure he'll keep making movies.
Yes. And if other offers come your way, is something you consider?
Absolutely.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, Definitely. Excellent. I would be happy to.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, our guest has been Desiree, one of the stars of Zombie Babies, and in two bands,
yes,
which we just heard about. And I really want to thank you for, you know, kind of some time to
thank
chat.
You. No, thank you so much for having me back.
Yeah.
This is great.
I'm sure that when something exciting is happening,
yes,
band-wise or otherwise,
yes,
You'll come back to the studio and chit-chat about it.
If anyone's interested in updates, all I do is talk. So I can just, you know, send you some text messages, send you some emails, and show up and, you know, beat everybody over the head a little bit about new things. And
very cool.
Yeah.
Well, thanks.
Thank you. Awesome.
Excellent. So, hey, we're back.
All right.
Thank you, Desiree. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Pork Chop 2, Rise of the Ryan, Zombie Babies, both available on October 2nd. Oh, no, no. September 25th, only a few days away.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, you got to pick up your copies, kids.
We also have Atomic Brain Invasion coming out, a retro sci-fi romp. The critics say blasts off like one of its flying saucers.
Get it.
Directed by... directed by Richard Griffin. John screaming from the bathroom still.
Yeah, he's having
He's been in there for 20 minutes. We also have Climate Tarzan.
Climate Tarzan.
A contemporary TNA-laden 60s exploitation homage featuring an all-girl cast, and it's directed by Jared Masters. There's a woman on the cover holding a Polaroid 104.
That's amazing.
It's amazing. Whoa.
How did that happen?
I don't know. Huh. We sell Polaroid 104 cameras in our filmphotographystore.com. So if you buy or rent Climate Tarzan, you like see the cover.
Yeah.
And maybe you like that girl's her boobs. Like, oh my god, I love her boobs. I want the camera she has.
Yes. So you can get it. The 104.
Just in time for Christmas is Snow Shark.
Whoa.
Oh wow.
The story of a rampaging prehistoric shark terrorizing a rural snow-laden town. Snow Shark.
I gotta see that.
Directed by Sam Qualiana.
All right, Sam.
Apparently Sam was in Pork Chop too.
Oh my gosh, this is an incestuous world.
Oh, John, so you can
You had a lot of fun in there, didn't you, John?
John, trying to
carry my poop out.
Could you take a look at this? I'm
Look at it. I did good. I did poopsies.
Look, it's got crickets in it.
Yeah, it's got
crickets in it.
It's got crickets. They're hopping. You got rickets and my glasses have crickets.
Hey, we're also going to carry... This stuff is going to be in alternativecinema.com.
Get out.
Bikers, Sasquatch, Exploitation, Sensation. Dear God, no.
Yeah.
You know about that?
Yeah, I know about it.
Shut the front door.
Father's Day. How about this? XX Exorcist.
Ooh.
Triple Exorcist.
It says it's exactly what you think it is.
Yeah. Oh, my.
A Cuban zombie film, One of the Dead. How about this? Life and Death of a Porno Gang. Basket Case 3.
Wow.
The Hammer House of Horror Collection.
Ooh.
How about this? The Nazi on the Moon cult phenomenon, Iron Sky.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to that.
Dead Hooker in a Trunk.
Just kidding. Got one of those.
Sounds like my weekend.
Sick, got one of those.
Sick and Surreal, The Bunny Game. Alternative Cinema is going to be at the following horror fan shows.
Scarefest.
Jacob Ennis is going to be there, John.
Oh, no kidding.
Scarefest.
How's he doing?
He's doing good. Lexington, Kentucky. Jacob is the director of Stash and Red River. He'll be on hand to greet fans and promote new and upcoming alternative cinema releases.
You know what's weird?
Mm-mm.
I ordered a Vampira shirt, and the guy looked me up on Facebook because he recognized my name, and it turns out that he designed the Stash t-shirt.
No way.
And he told me, he's like, oh.
Really?
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Incestuous world we live in.
You can go to scarefest.com to check out, like, you know, the shit.
Cool.
Cinema Wasteland in...
Cinema Wasteland, oh yeah. Cinema Wasteland.
October 5th through
7th. They're all wasted! Yeah, they are getting wasted.
Yeah, people get wasted there.
Yeah.
October 5th through 7th at the Strongville, Ohio Holiday Inn. AC will be represented by ukulele performer and film director...
Henrique.
Henrik Kudo.
Henrik.
Hey, Henrik.
You met Henrik?
Of course.
Of course.
He's a very flashy dresser. Does he still dress as...
Yes, crazy? And he has the handlebar mustache.
Yeah, it's quite a character.
Guests include Belinda... Belaski from Gremlins and The Howling.
Oh.
For additional
and Werewolf of Washington. Really? Not Washington. Werewolf of Woodstock.
Werewolf of Woodstock.
Oh, my goodness. Really?
Yes.
You lent me that movie.
It's great.
For additional information.
One of the craziest movies I've ever seen. Yep. Not on video. Andrew
so great.
Stevens.
Visit cinemawasteland.com. Chilla Theater, October 26th through 28th.
Chilla Theater Horror Convention.
Horror.
That's the whole thing, isn't it?
October. Oh, it used to be the Chilla Theater Toy Model and Film Expo. October 26th yeah. through 28th, join alternative cinema at New Jersey's longest-running horror and B-movie convention at an all-new... Wait a minute.
Yeah, we already said that. We already said that.
You told us
Paige wrote a longer thing, it looks like.
Look at John.
Oh, my God. Extreme close-up.
I froze it.
You effed it.
I got spooky eyes.
What happened?
Sparkle, sparkle.
I don't know. Wait, let me see. It's probably two. Let me see.
It's two sparkles.
I crossed it.
Guests include Paul Morrissey.
Paul McCartney, what?
He's kind of fussy, right?
Paul Morrissey? I don't know if he's fussy.
I wish he was bringing...
Andy Warhol was a dick.
Yeah, where's Joe? Where's little Joe?
John, Kevin. Lee Majors is going to be there.
Oh.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Lee Majors, man.
I wonder if he has any bionic parts for real by now.
Virginia Madsen.
Ooh, really?
She's too special.
I love her.
Yeah.
Candyman.
Really love her. There's a movie she made with... Don Johnson,
oh, it's
the Hot
Scammer.
Spot, I think it's called.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God, her and Jennifer Connelly are in that movie. Yes. Hot Jaw. Wow.
Barbara Steele.
Yeah,
said that.
Yay!
She a Hammer horror girl?
No.
Oh.
42nd Street Pete says I'm her doppelganger.
Yeah.
She
the woman
she
of steel.
She's from the Mario Bava movies.
Black Sunday.
Hey, que pasta?
Chillatheater.com. Theater spelled T H E A T R E.
Theatre.
Yes. Chillatheater.com.
Theater.
Hey, the Alternative Cinema Fall 2012 catalog update featuring new releases from us, like Pop Cinema, Camp Motion Pictures.
The whiskey melted the wax in this cup.
Mm-hmm. Blue Underground, After Hours, Synapse, Danger After Dark, and more. This is the first edition of the AC catalog to feature new and vintage VHS.
Wow.
VHS is back.
What the fans want.
Podcast at alternativecinema.com. What are you doing, John? If you're not on our mailing list, podcast at alternativecinema.com.
Gosh, I'm scared.
The AC,
taking off.
The catalog is free with purchase, and we want to thank Evan.
Evan?
Not this Evan.
No. What other Evan?
Evan of Crystal Plumage Film for organizing August video violence screening this past August.
Nice.
We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're gonna have a live song.
Really?
Yeah.
A visionary achievement that will change the face of erotic cinema. Seduction Cinema is proud to announce the home video and DVD release of Playmate of the Apes, an ultra-erotic sci-fi adventure that takes you deep into the forbidden zone.
How's my butt? It's not glowing like a baboon's, is it?
A well-endowed landscape of luxurious lesbian pleasures from which there is no return. From those same primates who brought you The Erotic Witch Project and Gladiator Eroticus, Playmate of the Apes features the beautiful Misty Monday doing her best Charlton Heston impression as fearless United States astronaut Gaylor, a sultry lesbian space explorer.
I want to get out of this madhouse! This is a madhouse!
Playmate of the Apes and other Seduction Cinema titles are available at fine retailers near you, or visit them on the World Wide Web at seductioncinema.com.
Playmate of the Apes, this month on Showtime.
Take it away.
She can feel the wind blowing through her hair. She won't blink at all if sand gets in her eyes. Warm sun will never feel the same. Cold fingertips tasting a red rose. Color can't be seen, can't linger by her nose. Warm sun will never be the same to that day.
Everybody.
I love it.
Transported.
Great.
Real great. I love that song.
I love it.
Hey. Now we're just going to sit here. Quiet. Yeah, it's great.
Oh, I love it. Did you see he was holding up a lighter for you on his
phone? Trying to concentrate.
You did a good job.
What do you got, Williams?
About a year ago, when we first started doing the podcast, got really excited about Godzilla vs. Megalon coming out on DVD.
Yeah.
And then it just disappeared.
Yeah, what happened?
I was depressed. I just hang upside down and wait. And finally, out of nowhere, it just popped out. It's done. Now, it's only on DVD. It's not on Blu-ray.
Oh, wah. Wah, wah. What's the point?
But this is the first time we're ever going to see Godzilla vs. Megalon on a DVD, widescreen, 2.35. It's awesome. It looks amazing. It only came out on DVD, bare bones.
Have you seen it?
Yes.
Yeah, we watched it.
Yes,
it's so good.
Well, you're an aficionado.
Godzilla's so cute.
It's great.
You know
it's
about
really
this,
great.
Kevin?
I know.
Godzilla vs. Megalon.
Yeah, I know the film very well. I just didn't know that the new version was out. I had no idea.
Yeah. So you got to pick it up. You can get it at alternativecinema.com.
Yes.
So
if you are
10% off. Yeah. Yay. You can get it 10% off now.
September 15th through September 30th, 2012.
So even if it's not on Blu-ray, I'll take it.
You get the basement if you haven't gotten it already.
You get the basement.
And this flick.
Yeah. September
10% off.
Comment section when you're checking out. Say, give me 10% off AC Podcast.
Say, hey, you fucks, give me 10% off.
That's right.
Or I'll come down there and...
September 15th through the 30th. So, don't worry, we're going to sort it all out. You'll only be billed for the proper amount.
Proper amount.
Thank you, Billy. What
else
you got?
All right, so... Russ and I have been watching Ray Cardona Jr. movies. We've been putting them on our Netflix queues, just spattering about, and we found two more really insane films. And real quick, I'll just give you a rundown of the films. First film is Gorilla King, 1977.
Yeah, but he's like that.
This is a Tarzan movie. Okay. Done by Mexican director Ray Cardona Jr., who did the House of a Thousand Cats, which you must see. It's really brilliant. It will blow your mind. And so anyway, starring Hugo Stiglitz. First, he's an explorer, and he gets murdered. And of course, he brings his baby along on his expedition. And So all the explorers get murdered by the natives. The baby ends up in a canoe. New drifting down a river, and of course a family of gorillas adopts him. So now you have this little baby and these guys in gorilla suits tormenting the screaming child, and they actually drop him into like the scrub. Totally abused baby.
Oh my god.
Then we see him a little more grown up when he's like 3 years old, and he's like running around these sets with like live animals, like chimpanzees and stuff. It's Mexico.
Dangerous.
I wonder how many babies they went through.
Do you have quadruplets? Because we need to have a lot of babies here.
The chimp.
Oh, well. Next.
Shaken actor syndrome. Wow. So anyway, he grows up, and in his adolescence, he meets one of the little cannibal boys. And at first, they're rivals, and then they become buddies.
Boys. Yeah.
And when the cannibal boy brings him back to his tribe, he like realizes, oh, my gosh, I'm probably dinner. So he runs off. Explorers start coming. He becomes a thing of legend. They call him the White Ape. They call him Ape through the whole movie, at least in the subtitles. And the explorers try and kidnap him. And this female explorer is with them. The explorers all get thwarted, and of course the natives kill them and everything. And the woman is left. And Hugo Stiglitz, the ape man, now Tarzan, grown up, takes care of her. And of course wins her over.
Of course.
This affluent woman from the city who's traveling and looking for the ape man.
Hey, I kind of like you.
Falls in love with Jungle Man, and all he really has to do to make her fall in love is he tries on one of her woman boots, which is like a high heel that she's wearing in the jungle, you know, and tries this funny little thing where he walks in the boot. It's ridiculous.
Does he talk English?
No, there's actually no dialogue in the entire film.
It's a silent movie.
No, it's narrated.
Oh.
It's narrated, yeah. Better.
It's ridiculous.
They couldn't hire a sound crew, I guess.
No, there's sound. There's sound. There's a little bit. There might be some
background. But are they, like, talking?
A little bit.
Are they interacting?
Not the whole time.
But there's no...
Yeah, there's really no dialogue. So, and the narration switches, like, it starts out with a male narrator, whom I'm not really sure who that male narrator is, and then it switches to the woman who Hugo marries in the jungle, in a sense. So now they have a child, then another group of explorers come.
Oh,
this time
no.
They want to catch the whole family of ape people, and they come after them in this, like, hot air balloon. And, like,
modern technology.
They're like, oh, he's down here, and then they come after him, you know. So they end up kidnapping his wife and his child. So he kidnaps, like, the little white child, and then they do, like, an exchange. And, of course, because the affluent woman can speak English, she's like, oh, well, my, you know, AP husband's probably just going to do this exchange. So it all works out. Everything's okay. They're all buddies. But then the explorers are like, we should take your child to London so he can, you know, go to school.
Yeah, and of course, real child.
There's this hilarious interaction in their, like, hut where Hugo's mad that they want to take the child and everything, but I don't know how he would even know what the hell they're talking about. Yeah. You know, it's just
because he doesn't speak English.
And you like rented it on Netflix?
On Netflix.
What's it called?
Gorilla King, 1977. So you definitely have to check that out.
You guys do Netflix?
Oh yeah,
I do.
You got it. It's on DVD on Netflix. You got to check it out.
Is House of a Thousand Cats on Netflix?
I don't think so.
No.
I have it on a 4-pack, so I can lend it to you.
Yeah,
it's
awesome. He's always, he's a ham.
Then the next one we got is Treasure of the Amazon, and this is starring Stuart Whitman, who is Murder Incorporated, Night of the Lepus, White Buffalo, Eaten Alive, Monster Club, the Comancheros with John Wayne film. It also has Donald Pleasance from Halloween, Bradford Dillman from Escape from Planet of the Apes,
Bradford Dillman,
Piranha and Swarm, and Hugo Stiglitz as the riverboat driver only.
That's
Hugo.
It.
He's just chomping on a cigar.
He's older?
A little bloated.
He's older.
Yeah,
he's
older.
It's since 1985.
Yeah. Oh. That's not that much longer after those zombie movies.
Well, that was 1980.
Oh, okay. Yeah. 5 years does a lot when you're boozing it up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just ask Lon Chaney Jr.
Oh. So, like, you remember the end of the cannibal phase? You know, the cannibal movies that were all in the 70s and the early 80s?
Yeah.
There was sort of like a resurgence in the mid-80s. Cut and Run and Massacre in Dinosaur Valley. So this came out at that time. And it has that kind of feel, but it's Ray Cordona Jr. TV movie.
Mm.
With, you know, as I said, Donald Pleasance, has all these kind of stars in it.
Those are big names.
Mm. Fucking ridiculous and amazing. Mm-hmm. I can't say how many What's times I have to say, you got to check these films
What's
out.
It called, this one?
Treasure of the Amazon.
Ooh.
Okay.
So Netflix.
You got...
It's on Netflix?
Yeah. Stuart Whitman.
I'm going to write these down.
I'm writing them
down. Stuart Whitman.
I like how you're taking
as
notes.
As the gringo. He's like a real grumpy, leathery, old, washed-up treasure hunter. And he's on this, like, steamboat that Hugo Stiglitz is driving.
Man.
And he, right in the beginning of the movie, he gets in, like, a little scuffle with an Indian. He cuts his finger off and he throws him in the water. The guy gets eaten by alligators.
Oh.
But it's, like, no big deal. It's, like, whatever. Oof. You know? And then so these other... Yeah, everyday occurrence.
Well, there goes another Indian.
Come up and want to pay him to be the guide because he's obviously, like, a known guy in the Amazon and everything. They want him to find them gold. So they start on their trek. Then, you know, in TV movie, there's so many characters, it gets confusing. There's another bunch of guys that come in like a little airplane chasing eagles down and hitting them with their propeller. They're after treasure, so they bring their girlfriend that I think they're both sharing into the jungle.
Oh,
and
my.
They go to get diamonds. And then you have Donald Pleasance, who is...
Yes, Donald Pleasance, yes.
Donald Pleasance.
I'm telling you, Michael Myers is dangerous. Yeah,
he's pretty much like that, but he's an SS guy hiding out
in South
America.
Does he have a scar on his face?
I think he might.
Oh, dear.
And his cohort is this Amazon queen who's topless the whole time.
Of course.
So, I mean, like, Mexican TV's awesome.
Great.
You know, there's just topless Amazons all over the place.
I'm raising my children in Mexico.
We're going. So he wants to raise money for the Third Reich. And she's supposed to be helping him. So anyway, these guys, you know, the woman and the two guys that have the plane, they run into all these Indios who kill all of them, and she survives. The grumpy Gus, gringo, finds her, and he takes her in. So now she's part of their group who are looking for diamonds. The other two guys don't want to share the diamonds, so they want to kill the Grumpy Gus and the woman. They try and rape her.
Oh,
he saves her.
Yeah, save you.
He kills one guy. He ties the other guy up and leaves him in the cave floor.
Who, the Grumpy Guy?
No, the Grumpy Guy ties the other guy up and leaves him on the cave floor.
How do you like that?
And in this absolutely bizarre Lucio Fulci a la The Beyond moment, little crabs start crawling out of nowhere. And they come and they attack the guy's face and they pull out his eyeball.
Oh. Piper type crabs or real crabs?
No, little crabs.
Real crabs.
It's insane. I don't know. But it doesn't make any sense. It's just like in Fulci's The Beyond, when the tarantulas come out and pull the guy's tongue out, you're just like, okay,
yeah.
This acid's really kicking in now.
Yeah.
You know? So,
well, did the guy live or?
No, he died. So Grumpy Gus and the woman get all the diamonds. And
I got the diamonds.
Of course, pretends to be in love with him. And then at the end, she double crosses him, and she looks in her bag,
bitch.
And she has all sand. So he double crosses.
Yeah,
double cross.
It's like everything you would imagine. So
down Treasure of the Amazon.
You guys will love it. It's great stuff.
And the other one's called The Big Ape.
It's called
The Big Ape.
What's the other one
Gorilla
called?
Gorilla King.
Gorilla King.
Yeah. So you definitely have to check
big
that.
Head. No, you big ape.
Shit.
It's called The Gorilla King.
Out.
And guess who walked into the studio? It's Gene from Third Eye Cinema.
Hey, I'm here.
Gene, what's going on?
Hey, you guys, me and Gene are going to chat. Why don't you guys take your break?
All right, good.
Take your 15-minute break.
I'm going to go on my 15-minute
break.
Me
and Gene are going to chit-chat. When we come back, we're going to do listener letters. So everyone hang in there. Me and Gene are going to chit-chat about Joe Sarno.
I'll go print some letters out.
You know Joe?
Yeah, I know Joe.
Well, we knew Joe.
We knew Joe.
Yeah, nice Joe man. Passed away.
And cut. That was great.
That's right.
That's what he said after every take.
That's right. Great
and
guy.
Cut. That was great.
I understand you want to chat about Joe Sarno.
Yes. Well, Joe was actually born and raised in New York City, which makes him near and dear to my heart already. And he was actually started out in Brooklyn at the dawn of the jazz age. And he just passed on, unfortunately, 2 years ago at the age of 89. He directed 120 films, which amazes me right there, of which he wrote what I think is an appropriate 69. Joe was right there at the dawn of the exploitation film, and he rode the wave of porno chic into hardcore before he finally ended his career in 1990 when they started coming out with all that pretentious, the artistic couples film thing that was like Andrew Blake and Zalman King that was big at the time. While some of Joe's earlier sexploiters can be a little bit rough going because they're very grim and self-consciously arty, there's a few real gems in the batch, like his wife swapping pictures, Sit in the Suburbs and The Swap and How They Make It. The former is notable for bringing together both Olga and Ilsa, you know, Audrey Campbell and Diane Thorne. And also in the cast, you have Judy Young, who also starred in two of the four Olga films, House of Shame and Mademoiselle Olga's Massage Parlor.
This is The Sin in the Suburbs?
Yeah.
That's an amazing film.
It is. I love that film.
I watched it, and honestly, you know, I mean, I as you know, I worked with Joe for many years.
Right.
The film is... It's mesmerizing. I found it mesmerizing.
It is. I mean, unless, you know, because I really have a thing for two of the Rebecca Brooke films, Confessions of a Young American Housewife and Loras Torres are kind of hard to top for me. But if not, this would be my favorite film of his. I mean, of all the films he made, it's like, wow, Sin and the Suburbs really stands out.
Yeah.
And also during that period, he did Moonlighting Wives, which he also put out, which was one of his first color films. Again, we're talking about bored housewives prostituting themselves for money and fulfillment. You know, it wasn't an original topic. You had people like Louis Buñuel, who was more of a surrealist and absurdist with Belle de Jour. And you had Hirohiro Ito doing the Nikatsu Roman porn debauchery that just came out. But still, you know, Joe always brought this sort of standard of class and audience engagement that was kind of unique amongst exploiters. Even to this day. And, you know, Joe obviously was an Italian Catholic, like both of us. And that upbringing brought a little bit of that, you know, guilt and consequences to the action that was going on screen. That, you know, when you look at it at first glance, you're thinking that this is there to appease mainstream puritanical American tastes. But there's always something more going on with his movies. You know, it keeps people involved in all the tawdry going-ons and the character peccadilloes involved. He made strong use of the chiaroscuro school of light and shadow, especially with his earlier films. But, you know, those early films, a lot of them could be a little bit overbearing if it wasn't for his thoughtful and considered exploration of the psychological underpinnings of all the characters on screen. And, you know, I said there's kind of like he goes into an exegesis on why these people were behaving the ways they do. You know, it's not just here's what's happening. It's like, well, let me think about why this is happening. Let me look into these people's mindset and their personality and why they might be doing this. And that's, again, this is very unique, especially for a softcore film. But and as he moved into the 70s, he sort of did this shift. Now, besides the move to color, which brought a new life and immediacy to these films, there was also... they're very different. There's a big change.
Different. He went into a different phase.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very late in the 60s, this is kind of where it started, he began to shoot a number of films in Sweden with mostly Swedish casts. And just about all of his films from that period onward, they're, you know, you want to check them out. You know, there's a languid dreaminess to them that reminds you of something like a Franco or a Roland. But at the same time, there's this really highly charged erotic feel to them that wasn't necessarily present with the older ones. And among the best of those ones in there, to my eyes, were Marcy, which I liked a lot, Daddy Darling, and Seduction of Inga, the latter two of which were on Retro Seduction. Most of his films around this period revolved around his favorite themes, like a naive young girl's first sexual awakening and discovery of the duplicitous nature of what, and what it takes to survive in the adult world. Among his most important discoveries at this time was sex kittens like Marie Lilliedahl, who starred in Inga and Seduction of Inga, and Marie Forsa, who I'll get to in a minute.
Yeah, oh yeah.
He also made use of the world-renowned cult icon Christina Lindbergh, who starred in Swedish Wildcats, and sexy sexploitation cougar Uta Erickson, who'd starred in a number of Michael Finley films, and two of the three pseudonymous Peter Woodcock New York lesbian grindhouse classics, Monique, My Love, and Doors of Lesbos, before she wound up in Sarno's Marcy. Erickson would eventually cap off her career starring in one of my favorite and most delightfully decadent Doris Wishman sleaze fest, which was The Amazingly Perverse Love Toy. Marie Lilliedahl, who was pretty if she's kind of bubble-butted Swedish starlet, was discovered and utilized by Sarno for 1967's Inga and Seduction of Inga, like I said. While the Inga films are fairly standard Swedish exploitation for the period, and they're very reminiscent of the Christina Lindbergh films like Made in Sweden or Anita, with their dark minimalist exploration of mistakes girls often make in their first steps into womanhood, Seduction of Inga is notable for its soundtrack, which is principally based around two songs released by Björn Ulvaeus and Benny Andersson just prior to the formation of ABBA.
Oh, yeah.
Inga's theme and She's My Kind of Girl. An interesting footnote to this, too, is how the Inga films kind of bookend Lilliedahl's career. While she starred in a number of erotic softcore films during her brief time in front of the camera, including Massimo Delmano's Secret of Dorian Gray, Something Wears Anne and Eve, which also starred Daddy Darling's Gio Petra, and Jesus Franco's Eugenie, The Story of Her Journey into Perversion, which also had Christopher Lee in it, she both started and ended her motion picture career with Sarno's Inga films. And then he had moved into his sole venture into the gothic horror genre, which is Veil of Blood, which was on Retro Shockarama's
yeah,
Devil's
the
Play
German
thing.
Films, yeah.
Yes. And then you also put it out in Retro Seduction under a more extended sexploitation cut as Vampire Ecstasy. But that was the first time he used a young Swede named Marie Forsa. Now, while Marie would also have a brief career in film, very little after Joe, including one of many takes on Dessau's twin novels, Justine and Juliet, her three films with Sarno displayed an ever-increasing level of explicitness and really insatiable passion. I mean, moving from Vampire Ecstasy to BB, which she released as Girl Meets Girl, and finally Butterfly, and obviously all three of those are through you. Joe often stated that he encourages actors during this period to actually have intercourse during filming.
Absolutely.
Despite the fact that he framed them such that, you know, it was resolutely a softcore film, so that he could capture the actual flush and reactions of orgasm on screen. You know, it really comes across on film. You could tell how passionate she is. And it makes for some pretty sexy late-night viewing for those who are interested. If Joe's films with Maria were already pushing the envelope of softcore, then the films he did after that really just practically fly over the edge. You know, while Butterfly had the distinction of starring Harry Reams as Marie's playboy boyfriend, Joe began to move straight into porn territory with first the rather silly Touch of Genie comedy, which was cast almost exclusively with porn stars Reams. You had Mr. Ten and a Half, Mark Stevens,
yes.
Tina Russell, and the couple Eric Edwards and Chris Jordan, the latter of whom took part in a number of softcore and hardcore films through the 70s. Genie's available in both its original hardcore and its R-rated softcore versions through Secret Key. But it's strange that the one period from this film that would most strongly lend itself to expectations of hardcore was an even more innocuous and sex-free comedy than Genie was, which was the misleadingly titled Deep Throat Part 2, which starred Linda yeah. Lovelace, plus Reams, Russell, and Jordan. And again, both films, along with The Switch, which was somewhere we're going to talk about in a minute, were also available in the soft dark cuts on your Deep Throat collection. Now, this is where we're going to go. Joe's next real discovery was probably his best. Rebecca Brooke, who we'd mentioned earlier, who also went by Mary Mendham. She was a star of the stage version of Jesus Christ Superstar. And her onstage nudity in plays like Hair paved the way, I think, for her boldness on screen with Joe. She took dramatic starring roles in such amazingly erotic films, like we were mentioning earlier, of Confessions of a Young American Housewife, Laura's Toys, before being cast in Radley Metzger's S&M film, The Image, and her soul hardcore film, which was Max Pekas' Felicia. She had a dramatic range that encompassed comedy, as in, you know, the Jekyll and Hyde, Sex Blur to the Switch, and the dramatic and erotic, like in the other films we were mentioning. Her palpably ravenous decadence, I mean, their eagerness to push the boundaries of sexual expression, it just comes through in her performances. And as with Forza before her, you know, she did this and then she was gone. It just abruptly ended her film career in 1977. Her films with Joe almost always starred Eric Edwards and included people like Jennifer Wells and Chris Jordan, like we mentioned earlier. After release of Misty, which was restored and prepared for release but just held up, Joe moved straight into hardcore under a number of pseudonyms, directing a number of those inside titles that were popular at the time, like Inside Jennifer Wells, Deep Inside Annie Sprinkle, Inside Sika, before he settled into a pair of Little Oral Annie films, Inside Little Oral Annie and Little Oral Annie Takes Manhattan. And amazingly, given all the stylistic changes that took place in the porn world between the mid-70s and the 15 years that followed, Joe stayed directing pornos right through to 1990, before he hung up his director's hat for good, really. But then 15 years later, you coerced him into one final return to form for Retro Seduction.
That's true.
Which was Suburban Secrets. And I really liked that film, I gotta say. You know, while the production, I get the impression it was trouble in its early stages with intended stars dropping out to pursue more mainstream film careers.
Yes.
But there's some definite strong Sarno touches in both the script and cinematography, inclusive of his infamous two-shot that he loved to use. And again, the strong focus on characterization and the consequences of one's actions. And present in a small part, of course, is one of my favorites of yours, which is the always welcome Angie McIntyre, going by her AJ Connie, at least. And the surprisingly attractive all-natural cougar Tina Tyler as Aunt Cynthia, plus a cast of Seduction Cinema regulars. While the overall tone is kind of oddly modernistic, you know, when you're expecting a Sarno film, it's like, wow, this is like, it was made only a couple years ago, and it's got that kind of feel to it. It's got a strong, like, a DVR kind of soap opera feel, which was much like Doris Wishman did when she had Satan Was a Lady, which was her late career comeback. You can still very much tell who was behind the helm, despite many years outside the industry, and it was really entertaining. I was very surprised by it. Joe was married three times, the longest of which was his third wife, Peggy, who starred in a number of his films and the occasional Michael Finley film under her Cleo Nova pseudonym. And she also worked second unit on several of his 70s efforts. You know, Joe, just to wrap it up, he was universally acknowledged for the class, stylishness, and cinematic resonance of his films. He brought a new depth and a unique style to what tends to be a generally tawdry, one-dimensional realm of sexploitation film. And he brought a welcome exploration of the female psyche to a film predominantly informed by a more blunt and obvious misogyny, you know, being made by and for males. Joe was really in a class by himself when it comes to classic exploitation.
I'm with you 100%. Absolutely, yeah. Joe's the man. And if you look at films in the 60s, other films in the same genre, some no-name directors, there's an amazing difference between a Sarno film and some no-name, because there were tons.
Oh, there were so many. Yeah.
So many. Something Weird has tons of them that you can see, and they're so boring.
The difference is so profound, it's almost electric. You know, you're sitting there like, oh, here comes another sex exploiter, and all of a sudden you're like, you almost snap your eyes to the screen, like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
You know it's a Joe Sarno film right away.
I had the pleasure of working with Joe for over 10 years, mostly remastering his films for release to DVD and cable.
Right.
And, of course, then making his last film, Suburban Secrets.
Right.
And I can tell you what makes Joe stand out, even in his later years, is the fact that he actually gives a shit.
Yeah.
I mean, he really cares about what he's doing. And when someone hires him to make a movie, he puts everything he has into it. And it's not about, it's, yeah, he wants to make a living.
Right.
But it's not, it was not about the money. It was about doing the best job possible.
And not knowing him personally, I also got the impression he got along with his actors, which is not something you can always say about directors. The
actors loved him.
Yeah.
They trusted him.
You can feel that because, like you said, trust, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
It's what brings out these kind of bold performances that, you know, somebody doing these kind of films, usually they're like, oh, geez, do I really want to take my clothes off? Or, you know, do I care about this at all? Or am I just here to make $5 and get out of here?
Yeah.
Whereas with his films, you can tell these people are really going out on a limb and giving their all. And that's not something you get if they don't like each other. And I got the impression that Suburban Secrets was filmed around here.
You're sitting in the room.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And because I was recognizing, like, hey, wait a minute, that's the stairwell to Pop Cinema. And this is, you know, some of the street scenes where, like, we went to the bank where they're outside there. I'm like, you know, this looks like it's, you know, Butler, New Jersey. I'm like, okay.
Yes. This is Walden Springs, which was the town.
Right.
And the script Joe was working on was just another story in Walden Springs.
Nice.
So, everything was shot in the studio outside. There were some locations in Pennsylvania.
Right.
The scenes where Tina Tyler is in her like cabin.
Right.
That's in Pennsylvania. But everything else was built here. At the time, Brett Piper was simultaneously working on feature films. So we had all the supplies right here in the studio to build a set.
Right.
Build a bedroom. Break down the bedroom. Build this set. Build that set. But the entire opening of the movie with Isidore Edison.
Right.
Was shot like right over there against that wall, like all the photo, wow, the photo shoot and whatnot. So, yeah.
Nice.
And that's about 8 years ago now. So time is going by. And I think as time goes by and there's more distance between that film, that is really going to gel itself into the Sarno.
Yeah.
You know,
I think it fits really well, actually. And I was going to say that much like whoever coerced Doris Wishman to come back and do Satan Was a Lady before she passed on, I got to thank you for that because it was a good film. It fits right in. It's a Sarno film. It's not, okay, well, he's here phoning it in and, you know, doing one of those kind of deals. He was actually invested in it. This feels like something from the 70s.
Yeah, and Joe brought in Tina Tyler to play that role. And, of course, the two leads were earmarked for Julian Wells and Misty Monday.
Right.
And that was like a rumble up to the last minute. Misty pulled out of that film much earlier, many, many months, when she decided to retire from softcore. Of course, you can imagine how sad I was to see her, in a sense, go, like, she went to a Cinemax's Lingerie.
Right.
So to me, that amount of years in between, then she's on Lingerie, I'm like, to myself, like, fuck. Seriously, I was like, fuck. Oh, man, why didn't you do the Sarno film?
Exactly.
Because for me, I knew that Misty's reign at the studio was, I mean, this, you know, you have your series of years when someone works for a studio and then they move on.
Right.
I mean, people get bored. People want to do other things. People want to take a break. And that's cool. But I thought,
go out on a bang.
Go out in a Sarno film. And it would have been an entirely different film. The whole sensibility would have been different.
And I was going to say, no, you know, denigration to Isidore.
No, not at all.
That was a Misty role, and I could see her in it. And it was I can actually picture her in it. And I know that in some ways, I want to say it would be better, but it would definitely have been a lot more different. It would completely different sensibility.
So there was a really big scramble. And as I always say, with everything I do producing-wise, hey, you know, the show must go on.
Yep.
And Joe was he's been through it a million times.
Yeah, of course.
You know, it's like, great, let's get somebody else. And Isadora was in, like, she was in Spider Babe. She's in Lord of the G-Strings.
Right.
She was in a number of films, and she was ready at that time to just step up and be like, yeah, let's do it.
And, you know, like I said earlier, I was just glad to see A.J. Conn in it because, you know, she's definitely one of my favorites of your actresses.
She's actually in some of Brett's movies now. Muckman.
Yes. Muckman, I was thinking in particular, that was really her standout role.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll see more from her. For folks listening who want to see some Joe Sarno films, I highly, and I know Gene does too, highly recommend you checking it out. If someone just bumped into you on the street and just said, "What's Joe Sarno film do I need to see?" What would you say?
I would probably say Confessions of a Young American Housewife, and then after that, I would say Sin in the Suburbs.
Okay. A lot of people say Confessions of a Young American Housewife. Yeah. A lot of people use that as a pivot. Like, we got to see this movie.
It really is. I mean, next to The Image, which was really her boldest role, where you're sitting with your mouth dropped, like, I can't believe this woman is doing this. That was the second. It was right there, like, wow, this is, because, you know, he pushes boundaries. There's really, you know, touching on all kinds of crazy things, incest, but nonetheless, she's just out there and she's giving it all.
Yeah,
you know, very brave performance.
Yeah. Folks out there, you can go to alternativecinema.com and pick up these DVDs. You could email us at podcast@alternativecinema.com. Give us some feedback. We'd love to hear from you. I finally coerced Gene to come down to the studio, do this live here on the show, which is great, rather than you, I don't want to say phoning in.
Well, but
you were dialing up. Well, not you were using the internet,
myself,
and you would send them over.
So.
Yeah, it's. I'm glad to have you here. It's a whole different presence having you here in person. And Gene, how do people find you? And tell us about your podcast.
Okay, well, my podcast, I'm actually involved with a couple, but the one that's important is Third Eye Cinema. And that happens on Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. We're a forum where we explore genre film and music from around the world. It's in-depth conversation and career analysis with directors, actors, and musicians, and open discussions on films that really matter. You know, those are outside the mainstream corporate film by boardroom committee.
Is it live?
No, it's not live.
Okay.
Because I prefer to have, like, create a lot of creative control on this one.
Great, I'm with you.
my Monday show, which is more, you know, social political stuff, that's live. And we just kind of shoot from the hip there.
How do people find Third Eye Cinema Podcast?
Okay, well, you can look on Blog Talk Radio. But really where you want to go to is my page, which is Facebook, which is facebook.com/Third Eye Cinema.
What about the iTunes?
We're on iTunes feed now. I don't have all the details, but I'm sure if you go onto iTunes and look up Third Eye Cinema or Big Papa Online, you should be able to find us.
Well, thank you, Gene. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Everything that's evil and erotic, all rolled up into one.
All the sins of Sodom. The 1968 theatrical sensation by noted sexploitation director Joseph Sarno is now available on DVD from Secret Key Motion Pictures. Shocking. Sensual. Dramatic. One of Sarno's most compelling dramas.
Okay, honey, let's have a marriage between you and the camera.
An erotic tale of lust and obsession about an ambitious photographer, his love, and the sensual and manipulative woman who comes between them.
Have you ever tried two girls in bed at once?
Unavailable since the time of its original release, this 40th anniversary edition contains the uncut and remastered feature film, All the Sins of Sodom. Audio commentary with actress and associate producer Peggy Steffens. Interview with writer-director Joe Sarno. Liner notes by Sarno biographer and film historian Michael Bowen. And a glimpse into the 2008 screening at the noted Alamo Drafthouse Theater in Austin, Texas. All the Sins of Sodom Collector's Edition DVD. Available now.
I can assure you it's far beyond your wildest fantasies.
Hey, we're back. We're going to be reading some listener letters.
Listeners?
Yeah, we're podcast. I want to thank Gene for coming. Thank Gene for coming down.
Very, very nice man.
Yes. We all miss Joe Sarno. Podcast@alternativecinema.com if you guys want to write us a letter. We've got some letters in. What do you got, John? Read some letters.
There was a letter about someone very happy to get the Seduction of Inga.
Is that right? Joe Sarno, Seduction of Inga.
From Andy Dixon. Just received my Inga Joe Sarno collection. Much praise to all at Retro Seduction for a great set. Just wish more of his 60s period was out there. Guess much of it is lost or still somewhere out there. Is that true?
Yeah.
Still out there somewhere.
Joe
out there.
Made over 100 films, and how many are released? 20?
Wow. Jeez. All your releases from this great filmmaker have been great. And to finally get Seduction of Inga, which I've tried to get for over a year now,
it's been out of print.
Last to finally watch.
Been out of print. Back in print.
All the best to Mike Rasso.
That's me.
And everyone involved. So glad you and Something Weird keep on preserving this director's fine films.
That's right.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Andy Dixon.
Thank you, Andy.
Speaking of Andy's, we have Andrew Grossman.
Okay.
Says, I live in Quincy, Massachusetts, and I'm a huge fan of shot on video stuff, especially all of the retro 80s collections you guys have released over the years. I'm a devoted listener to the AC podcast, and I'm wondering if there will ever be any more retro 80 releases.
Yes, of course.
What? When?
I'm working on a few things right now. I can't say.
You can't say?
No, I don't want to surprise
it. It's top secret because you never know what creep might creep up and take it all away.
Keep listening.
Secret. Yes.
This is an older one.
Yep.
It was plugging the Monster Mania Con in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, which
was in August, 17th through 19th. But it's from Emily M.
Emily.
And she says, what's not to love about the AC podcast?
I'm
totally addicted.
Whoa. You might get help for that.
Thanks for all the groovy
work. A girl
we
don't have that her. Is addicted to the podcast.
That's awesome.
You are awesome, young lady.
Yes, you are. Yeah, that's great. We don't have too many female listeners.
It's changing.
We're trying to
change
lure
that.
Them in.
Good.
Yeah. This is for another show that was in August in Keene, New Hampshire that we missed.
What was it called?
We were on vacation.
Yeah, we were on vacation.
It's called, they were screening, let me start the letter. It says, hey guys, big fan of the AC podcast. I especially am loving the VHS memory series as I came of cinematic age during the dawn of mom and pop video stores too. And wanted to pass along some info about an event I'm organizing in New Hampshire in case you want have time to mention it on the next show. Well, we were on summer vacation, so sorry we didn't get to plug it.
Is there a website we can go to?
This is from Mark Nelson, and he says, my pals and I at Saturday Fright Special, which is a public access horror show seen coast to coast. And he says, by the way, we've given away a number of AC titles on the show over the last season.
Wow.
They're gearing up for their 7th Colonial Theater Spooktacular.
Nice.
They were screening a 35mm print of Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Very nice.
Which... unfortunately, it's passed. So sorry we couldn't plug it, guys.
Hope it went well.
But everybody look for the Saturday Fright Special, public access show on cable. And this is from Mark Nelson.
Mark, you know what? We're back from vacation. Mm-hmm. So when you have something else to plug, podcast at alternativecinema.com. Drop us a line.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Hold on. Okay. Here's a good this is a question for the panel.
Oh,
okay.
Very nice. I like
the panel.
Good.
It says, dear William, John, Aaron, and Mike, and honorary guest Kevin.
Yeah, honorary
guest. I'll field this one.
It says, listed in order of the quality of your poop anecdotes. So,
oh, my God.
Bill, obviously your poop
They're
story was
the
best.
They're asking me. Wait, what?
It was, I think.
That's going to be on my tombstone.
Wait,
Here lies William.
He did one.
He did one missing one. It says, my girlfriend and I are staying in an old castle gatehouse over the upcoming Halloween holiday, and we're wondering if you could suggest any movies to match the atmosphere of the place.
Oh, creepy.
Thank you for
movies.
The fun show, and keep up the good work. Paul from England. So he's staying in an English castle, which is probably pretty creepy.
English castle. Well, I'm going to go with, it's not quite a castle, but it's similar. It's a House of 1,000 Cats, which is a monastery. I was just mentioning.
Hugo Stiglitz in it?
This is Hugo Stiglitz. This is a crazy movie. It's about a guy that flies around in a helicopter picking up women in their backyards.
That's not spooky, though.
It is totally spooky. He brings them back to his
pretty creepy
monastery, seduces them and murders them, keeps their heads in a glass case, thinks about the heads, flashbacks about how he got different heads, and he feeds them to the cats.
He hates the cats.
He throws the cats when they get out. He's mean to the cats. It's awful.
Is there animal cruelty?
He takes children out of the backyards of the women he's hitting on, and he gives them like dolls and stuff and takes them for rides in his helicopters, and they think it's fine. It's a fucked up world. I love it.
What's the name of the movie?
House of 1,000 Cats.
Aaron Russ, what is your choice?
Well, I was just thinking we just watched this the other night, Nosferatu, with Klaus Kinski.
Yeah.
Oh, that's creepy.
Fucking creepy.
The English
version?
So if you
want to see something creepy.
Or the German version?
It was English.
There's an English version. And there's also a German version
of
that movie.
Oh, is this a different version of the actual film?
Filmed the movie in English and in German.
Wow. What?
Just like Dracula was done?
Yeah, there's a DVD out where they have both versions.
Wow, that's cool.
And it's all the same actors?
Everybody's same.
It's just the same.
Same
shot.
Crazy Renfield.
Is it like a dub?
No.
Is it about?
As I recall, it was English and then German.
A German version. Wow.
With subtitles. Yeah.
Very interesting.
Oh my God.
Wow. He did that with Dracula.
Yeah.
Spanish version of Dracula.
He's exactly. Very creepy.
Cool.
Yeah, he's
and
totally
Isabel
creepy.
Ajani, I think is her name. She's gorgeous. Mm. So I thought that was really creepy.
It's
and
a creepy castle.
He's in a castle. So, hey,
do
try
it.
That.
I'm going to recommend, you're going to help me with the title. It's the one, it's the British zombie movie, the Manchester Morgue. What's that called now?
Breakfast at the Manchester Morgue.
What are the other titles?
Living Dead at the Manchester Morgue. AKA Through the Window. It's got a billion names.
Living Dead at the Manchester Morgue.
The Living Dead at the Manchester Morgue is my choice. And you should also have a copy of Shock Festival.
Shock Festival.
For when you guys just want to like
We're
hang
in that,
out.
John.
Yeah, I know.
Absolutely.
Like when you guys are in between sex.
And your main feature, you got all these trailers. You get three discs of trailers from Shock Festival. Yes. So that's a really good one for Halloween. Because you get like lots of punch. And you know you can't fit in like to watch 20 movies all in one night, but you can watch 20 trailers.
You got to watch Devil Sister.
Oh yeah, and you could order
stars me and John.
And you can,
starring.
You could order all of these movies.
Me and John.
At alternativecinema.com and order now between now and the 30th of this month, 2012, and get 10% off.
Kevin, what's your castle movie? Oof. Let's finish the.
I know. I wish I just don't have one. I can't remember.
Wait, I got to put mine in.
What's your castle movie?
The Mask of the Red Death. Roger Corman's Mask of the Red Death.
Oh, okay. Mm.
It's a great movie, especially if you're doing whatever gets you through the night.
Okay.
Great, creepy castle movie, especially at the end when everybody's faces are bleeding.
Got a castle movie, Kevin?
I'm
thinking.
Okay. Okay.
Next letter.
Who's the werewolf here?
Good luck on your trip.
Yeah, have fun, guys. Yeah. That sounds like an awesome time.
I hope it has an outhouse.
Okay, to the Alternative Cinema Podcast crew. Greetings from Arkansas.
Yeah.
I wrote the Alternative Cinema Podcast an email once before about a year ago. Since then, I've listened to every episode of the podcast and purchased several of your DVD titles.
Yes.
As much as I always enjoy your guest hosts, such as Henrique Cudo. What's his name?
Henrique Cudo.
Henrique. Why is it spelled Henrique?
It's not. It's Henrique.
All right. Henrique Cuoto. Henrique Cudo. And Chris Lamartina, 42nd Street and 42nd Street Pete and others. Out of the seven or so podcasts I subscribe to, the AC podcast is definitely the one I look forward to the most.
Oh,
as far as I'm concerned, you guys are the cool kids of the podcasting.
You're damn right.
All right.
F everybody.
Aww. Yeah.
These are like your friends.
You're the bully of the podcast.
I don't listen to other podcasts.
We'll beat those other guys.
I don't even know what's out there.
We listen to killer reviews.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
That's so cool.
And those Kentucky guys.
The Dead Pit.
Yeah.
I recently purchased the Brett Piper Shockorama Horror Collection.
Nice.
I've only watched Bite Me so far, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
the stop
great.
Motion animation was very impressive.
Yeah, it's good.
I truly admire Brett Piper for using this incredibly painstaking technique.
Nice.
The guy is a massive talent. In my opinion, John Fedeli's performance as the DEA agent was great.
Yay,
After
John.
Listening to him so many times on the podcast, it was fun to see him in a totally over-the-top acting role. Should see me every day in my house.
pull through the door.
Hats off to you, sir. I can't wait to watch the rest of the films in the collection. What else is in that collection?
Screaming Dead, Bite Me, Shockorama.
Shockorama.
Is Bacterium in there?
Bacterium?
I don't know.
That was the last film he did for you, right?
Yes. I don't know if it's three features in
What's
there.
What's the one with the big brain? Oh, that's
Draniac. Maybe Draniac is in there? I don't know.
Well, that was pre.
You guys got to see these, though.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah.
He says, I work for a video production company here in Arkansas, and I wasn't exactly brokenhearted when we finally got rid of all our VHS dub machines. I admit that one of the things that attracted me to the basement box set was that it came with the film on VHS.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have never expected that there would be a trend of people releasing new films on VHS.
Crazy shit.
Mold.
Strangely enough,
yeah,
I have a soft spot in my heart for things actually shot on VHS. Something about that grainy, super lo-fi VHS look really hits the right nostalgia buttons for me. He goes on about making movies in high school, blah, blah, blah. and he says, also, Electric Wizard. Glad to see Mr. William Hellfire likes them. He and I seem to like a lot of the same weirdo metal bands. I'm in the middle of recording CDs for the two bands I'm in, and I'll try and get copies off whenever.
Oh, right on.
Yeah,
let's hear that. We'll play it on the podcast.
Yeah.
Very cool.
He says, the Friday the 13th segment was fun, too. I remember seeing the VHS cover art for those movies at my local video store. Pop and Go Video. And being terrified of them. One year for Halloween, I bought a glow-in-the-dark hockey mask. It spooked me so much, I had to hide it in my closet and close the door.
That's awesome.
I was too much of a chicken to watch the movies when I was a kid, but when I finally got around to seeing them, I fell in love. Parts 1 and 2 are my favorite, but I pretty much like them all.
The Doom band I'm in has a song called Crystal Lake is Full of Corpses.
Nice.
Miss Erin Russ is always enchanting, and I'm glad she's a regular part of the show now.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to say thank you for making the podcast. I really enjoy it. I'll keep listening as long as you make it, and I'll keep buying your movies as long as you keep putting them out. Take care. Doug Horton.
Oh, Doug.
I really like Doug you, rules. Doug Horton.
Yeah, Doug, you're the best, but I got to say, you're in Arkansas, so where is that Boggy Creek monster now? Is he still floating around? Where is the creature from Boggy Creek?
Hey, next podcast we're going to do.
Got a letter.
Oh, you got a letter.
I got a letter.
My funny nose.
Oh, what do you got? Let's see your letter.
Are you kidding me?
From.
It's distinctive.
Yeah, it is.
A fan gave me a Facebook letter today when I put a post about if anybody wanted to make announcements.
Yes.
And so the letter from podcast fan Easel Welks is her handle on Facebook. And she says, okay, I have things. I would like you to talk about them, please.
That's it?
And she says,
yes.
I, as a proud female listener and Chainsaw Kiss fan,
whoa,
would like to know what the views are on expressing feminism in film. Do you think it's something important to portray? Why or why not? I support feminists. No, I don't shave. And think that people need a better, yeah, and need a better understanding of feminism through film and all forms of media. You know, I think that's cool because, you know, I always say I'm not a big fan of the shaved cooch. Mm. Especially making independent movies. I love when girls grow out their fur.
I like
when because
trimmed, but not exactly out of control.
Yeah, I like it kind of jungly. Because it looks good on camera, actually. You know
it
what
does.
I mean? Like, because if you're making a rated R sex film,
you want to cover up those, you
juicy
bits. You want to
see the
female vampire. People think she's wearing underwear.
Yeah, she's
female
not.
Female vampire, she has the belt. And people think she's wearing underwear with it, but it's actually just
her
fur.
Cooch.
Her cooch is so big, it looks like
awesome.
A pair of underwear.
It does.
So we let's all go for that. And, I think that feminism is cool in films. I kind of see everything through movies, so I would say, Day of the Woman, I Spit on Your Grave is, a great feminist film. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's cool. Now, this is kind of specific to you, Sir Hellfire. I didn't know I was knighted. Could you talk about what it was like filming Duck back in the day and share some memories of Joey and Ruby, Victor, and everyone from the more recent stuff, too?
Next show.
there's the what was the cool
Killer Review.
Killer Review.
You have
show?
To listen,
yeah.
to
listen to the Killer Review
us
show.
On the Killer Review podcast.
The definitive interview about all
yes,
that stuff.
It is
that it was all
crazy
definitely,
shit.
Definitely
yeah.
in there.
KillerReview.com.
I don't know if I'm going about this the proper manner. I never participated in anything like this before. It's really exciting. P.S. Ruby, you're a great role model in my life, and I really look up to everything you've done in film and elsewhere. I aspire greatly after you. So, Ruby, you've got a fan out there, definitely, for sure.
More than one.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Tons.
But that's cool. I'm glad you participated. We were saying that there weren't enough girls writing to the AC podcast.
No, they're not enough. Nope. Now it's changing.
And now it's changing, and that's very cool.
Podiesel,
thank you very much.
Yeah, podcast@alternativecinema.com, or friend Bill, he'll friend anyone.
I'll friend anyone.
Apparently so.
That's true.
Yeah. I'm easy.
He has a lot of friends.
Next time, the October AlternativeCinema.com. I promise we're going to be talking about Mold on VHS.
Mold.
And I know we're looking into getting it in the AC catalog.
That's awesome. That's finally going to happen, huh?
I hope we can get it in there.
Come on, Mold guys. You got to let AC carry it, even if you don't let anybody else carry
exactly.
it. And we're going to talk about it. We just keep getting distracted.
Yeah. And we're going to be back. We're back in the swing of things. Next month is the big super-duper Halloween
holiday
episode.
Spectacular.
Yeah, on the 15th, which is great. Did you? Is there anything on there? Anything?
I have a song.
Oh
I'd
yes.
Like to play. We brought Crazy from Wes and the Airedales that you could, if you want, put under when we're talking about the Jalos.
Okay.
War Pigs from the band Hell Songs, and I think you guys will really like this band if you haven't heard them before.
They sound
wonderful. Yeah, they do covers of metal songs like they did Slayer.
They do Slayer. They do really great metal songs, but they're a band from Sweden that does it in sort of a folk music, and it's really haunting and eerie. And I don't usually go for light stuff, and I'm really into a lot
of noise and
heavy
stuff,
but this is really haunting, eerie chills. And they do War Pigs, and it brings tears to my eyes, really. It's just a really amazing song. They're called the Hell Songs.
Hell Songs.
So I would love for everyone to get to hear War Pigs. And I also brought Jennifer's Veil from the birthday party, because I don't remember if we ever got to it last time.
I don't know.
So I don't know. Halloween's coming, so something creepy. This is a vampire song from Nick Cave's old band, The Birthday Party, which is a very haunting, creepy vampire song. See? And Nick Cave just made his second Hollywood screenplay, which was pretty decent.
Lawless.
Okay, very nice. Good.
So check it out. Check out The Birthday Party and Hell Songs.
Thanks, everybody. We're going to be back in a month. Kevin, I'm glad you stayed.
Yeah.
Because I want to do a group shot. I need you to pull the plunger.
Pull the string. I'm glad you stayed so you can take a picture of us.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. No, yes, you can. So we're going to see everybody next month. Yo.
Bye. More crickets.
General gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction, sources of death construction. In the fields, the bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind. Oh Lord, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Politicians hide themselves away. They only started up the war. They leave that to the poor. Now in darkness, world stops turning as you hear the bodies burning. No more war pigs of the power. Judgment, God is calling. On their knees, the war pigs crawling, begging mercy for their sins. Oh Lord, Satan's laughing, spreading his wings. Time will tell on their just like pawns and chains, until the judgment day comes. Politicians hide themselves away. They only started up the war. Why should they go out to fight? They leave that to the poor. Thank you.
casting of